TrishStratus.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Andy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No, world tag team champions of the world.
That's redundant.
It's totally not redundant. We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that.
And it's whichever like two rules you want to choose, it's up to you.
Heck yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
I've been feeling real good. Came a long way from misunderstood. Far away from the days where I wouldn't want to go home, cause I was afraid of the truth. See, I was scared to admit the feeling was in the back of my head. Cause the point where line no longer works, so you have to stand up for how you wanna live. Tonight is the night, is the night, and we're losing control.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I have come... take two! I'm, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and I've already screwed up in the show in the first 2 minutes. Yes!
Everyone...
New record!
Everyone, take a shot.
Everyone, take a shot! The host screwed up! As you can hear, I am joined by Mr. The Sock himself, Sir Rockin'.
Mr. The Sock? Okay, I like that. Okay.
Mr. The Sock.
Hi, everybody.
Or, as we like to call him, Slappy.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
And, of course, joining us from down under, the happy-go-lucky Mace.
Indeed.
I has had much Korean barbecues and going out and trivias and alcohols and stuff like that.
Ooh.
So I've had a good few days.
Kind of wondered, what's the difference between Korean barbecue and Mongolian barbecue?
Flavors and the way it's cooked.
Oh, because Mongolian barbecue is made of awesome.
It is if you get the right place.
See, there's a place here in the States called Genghis Grill, and I wish we had it out here. It is made of whey, and it's so yummy good. You can put Mrs. Dash on your food. It's just, yeah.
Okay, well, when I come over there, we're going to have to take a road trip.
Yes, we will have to take a road trip. You and I will have to go to Nashville.
Yes, so I can see what real rednecks look like.
Tennessee's a good place to do that.
There's many good places to see, you know, what good rednecks look like, and then there's places where you see some really bad rednecks.
Walmart.
That's true. At 3 a.m.
Yeah, you're going, dude. We can take him into a Walmart in Tennessee.
That's the plan.
And we do it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mace is going to be like, oh, shit, I'm screwed.
I'll be leaving in a pine box or one of those white jackets with the tied-on sleeves.
Which you could probably get for $14.99 at Walmart.
Actually, I think you can. I swear to God, I saw them one night. But I could be wrong, you know, because I totally go tooling through Walmart at 4 a.m.
She does. She totally does.
My boss is listening to this. That never happens.
We never said it was when you were working.
This is true, but just in case my boss is listening, that never happens, at least when I'm at work, ever.
King Kim is $12.98 rollback price. So there you go.
We're rolling back. Didn't they say like a theme song for that?
They might have. I'm not quite sure. To the YouTubes as we go, as you introduce, you know, what we're doing tonight.
We're not going to have as an exciting show as we did last week. Sadly, we have no interviews, but that's okay because we still have an awesome show planned for you. It's going to be... It takes so much excitement for the month. We do not actually have a question of the night tonight because we are going for something a little different. We are actually going for a tribute of a very dear friend of ours who passed away, which we will be doing at the end of the show. Tomorrow is the anniversary, so actually technically if you're on the East Coast, we're going to roll over onto the anniversary. So we are going to remember a very dear friend who passed away, and that is going to be basically our question of the night, and hopefully we can get Omega on here to join us as well to talk about him. And we're going to keep it positive. We are not going to drone on about how he passed away, but we are going to share our funnier stories of him because, oh my dear God, there are quite a few.
Yeah, there are. And you guys, we're telling you now, you're going to have some fun when we go through in the Wayback Machine because we're going all the way back to about, what, 2002, 2003, and so on.
Rock is breaking out the clips library for this. We have the official JSK soundboard.
We do, and we'll be delving into it later in the show.
Yes. But before we get there, we have news.
We have news, do we?
We do. The biggest news of the week.
What's that?
Triple H and Stephanie McMahon are officially on Twitter. And Triple H actually is apparently using his Twitter because there's an update on this, folks. He tweeted Shawn Michaels. It took him 3 days to figure out how to follow Shawn Michaels and tweet him, but he did it. Contact has been made. We are presently waiting for Shawn Michaels' reply. Has not happened yet.
Might take Shawn a few more days to follow Hunter. But the communication lines have been opened. They're all on Twitter now. We're just now waiting for Vince and Shane possibly to join them on the Twitters.
No, I'm waiting for Vince and a Taker.
Yes, I know you're waiting for a Taker, but, you know, we all are going to be waiting for a Taker. In many different ways.
Yes, we are, but we'll get into that later in the show, won't we?
Yes, we're going to be talking a lot about the Undertaker later in the show tonight.
Because, well, I'm the resident fangirl in the can, so there. Ha! Plus, I made a nifty little graphic earlier in the week, and we're going to show it. So you get to see some of my artwork tonight on the Justin TV player.
It's flashing through right now.
Oh, it's flashing through right now. Fantastic.
Yes,
my artwork as I do the Vanna White.
There you go.
Or the Price is Right girls. Yes, it's pretty. I have no idea if it's still up there or not. But, speaking of Vince, I don't know if Vince is going to be having a Twitter, but if he did, he could express his anger that he had earlier in the week on it.
Yeah, he had mad this week over something that happened on Monday Night Raw.
Now, in case you missed it, CM Punk and John Cena had an absolutely fantastic match to close out Monday Night Raw. And one of the moves in particular that got a lot of people's attention was they pulled out a pile driver in this match, which, as we all know, is a banned move.
Yes, it is.
Unless The Undertaker does it.
Well, the pile drive, the version CM Punk did is banned, where he puts, you know, head between the legs and plants you down. That one's banned.
Right. The tombstone is not.
The tombstone is not.
Okay. Well, they pulled out a pile driver, and everybody was wondering how the hell they got permission to do it. And, well, they kind of sort of didn't, and they just kind of sort of threw it in the match. And, well, Vince kind of sort of had him mad.
Yeah. That didn't go over so well with the boss, but because they're CM Punk and John Cena, well, they're probably going to get a, they probably got a really, 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 really long speech about it, but nothing else will probably be done about it.
Do you think they got it on the corporate jet, which is now up for sale?
Apparently, the, I don't think they got it on the corporate jet, but yeah, that jet's up to, for what, sale there, and they're going to spend like $50 million on a new one?
Which isn't a lot for a plane.
It's not a lot for a plane, but the bigger story, I didn't know it was 20 years old.
Oh, yeah. It's every bit of 20 years old. You can, you know, the aviation expert in me, if you want to call it that, can tell.
Well, yeah, you are the aviation expert, so I should turn always turn those questions over to you. So.
Oh, whatever. You see a plane land on two wheels and a wing one time, and suddenly you're an expert.
Yes. Yes, you are. When that happens, you become the expert. I'm just
no,
saying.
It only happens if you if you're flying the plane.
No, if you're on the plane then, or see it happening, you know, you become an expert. You witnessed it, so you're an expert.
Yeah, sparks everywhere, by the way. but I guess what else would be having sparks? Ric Flair is swapping wives. And he's doing it on TV.
Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. Apparently, the Nature Boy is going to be a part of the new, it's not new, but ABC's, Celebrity Wife Swap. And he's doing it with his girlfriend, I guess you call that wife, I guess it's wife number 7 at this point.
Significant Other.
The Significant Other, as it were. And what makes this story interesting, he's swapping wives with Roddy Piper. Let me read this.
Hold on. So basically, Flair's getting Piper's wife, and Piper's getting a mountain of debt.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Pretty much for a week, yes. Yes. This is how it happens. Apparently, the episodes have been filmed on the week of the 14th. You know, just for Valentine's Day, let's swap wives. But yes, Ric Flair and Roddy Piper are going to be on Celebrity ABC's Wife Swap, and they're swapping significant others. Yeah!
I kind of want to see Piper in this episode, I'm not going to lie.
Ric Flair's currently dating Fifi, I believe her name is. She was in the wrestling business a long time ago. And I'm not
Wait, her actual name is Fifi. What is she, a freaking poodle?
I was going to say, she's not Renee Dupree's dog, for those wondering. If anyone gets that reference.
Nobody probably gets that reference except for us.
Okay, just making sure. But, yeah, that's who Ric Flair's dating, and, yeah. So, it's going to be interesting to see. This is one you may actually want to tune in for when it airs. In the summer?
Probably. The sheets will put it out when it's going to be on.
Well,
it'll be all
place. It'll be all over the place. Yes, but yeah. Ric Flair and Roddy Piper swapping wives. Okay.
I'm more curious to see Piper. I really am. Just to see how he takes this. Whether he's, you know, Mr. Calm and Cool and, you know, just a regular guy, or if he goes all crazy on her.
It's Ric Flair.
I know it's Ric Flair.
What else do you expect from Ric Flair?
No, I'm talking about Piper.
Oh,
I'm not
Piper.
Talking about
oh,
Flair.
Piper, yeah, Piper. Again, let me refresh myself. It's Piper. What else do you expect? He's going to cut a promo on her, bring her down to the Piper's Pit, give her a coconut, you know, that whole routine.
Sure. Actually, I can see him doing that, sadly. Is he going to wear the kilt?
Oh, the whole family's going to be wearing kilts, probably.
Dude, that would be awesome. She pulls up, they're all in kilts. They've got the Piper's Pit set in the front yard. There's a basket of coconuts on the coffee table.
There you go.
Jimmy Snuka stops by for dinner and things just get awkward.
Yeah, they do, brother. Oh, God, this is going to be hard. It's going to be an interesting TV. So whenever it airs, we'll let you know, because it'll be all over the interwebs, and we'll probably talk about it here on the Rack.
Yes, we will.
Speaking of wrestlers and TV shows, did anyone catch the Robot Combat League?
Yes.
Yes.
What did we think?
The fighting at the end was good.
Yeah, the fighting at the end was good. It kind of sort of has a little bit of drag in the beginning, and I don't know whether that's just because it was the pilot episode or if that's how every episode is going to be. But, yeah, it was all right.
I just want to know how that fucking CG girl gets on everything. The one with all the tattoos and the multicolored hair.
She might have a development deal with Sci-Fi?
I wouldn't say that. She was on a show called The Ultimate Gamer once upon a time. She was on The Tester, which was done by Sony. And now she's appearing in this. It's like, fucking hell, how does she end up on all these reality shows and still end up being the bitch of every friggin' show she's on?
Well, to answer your question, Ultimate Gamer was Sci-Fi.
Oh, there you go then.
Yeah, as far as reality shows go, at least here in the States, there's like a group of people that they all appear on reality shows. Like the chick that was in Tough Enough, the one that just occurred, the one that quit, was also on America's Next Top Model. So it's there's a reality show talent pool, which is terrifying to think of, that just they all get on the same shows.
I was also surprised the daughter of George Lucas, she doesn't go into filmmaking, she's an MMA fighter. It's like, fuck your Star Wars, Dad.
She has bitterness with the Ewoks that she needs to get out, you know.
I'd like to see her take on Jar Jar Binks. Stick that on pay-per-view.
She'd whoop his ass.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know what? There's another TV alumnus that we have to talk about.
We do?
We do.
And who's that?
Mick Foley.
Ooh, well, yeah, Mick Foley, he's up to some stuff now, possibly.
Possibly. There are rumors circulating that, well, Mick Foley may be the new GM of Saturday Morning Slam, which I have a separate rant on later, or after we talk about Foley, but... So what do you think of this?
It's interesting. To give you the backstory, WWE is going along with appointing a general manager for Saturday Morning Slam, the kids' television show that airs on the CW network during the Vortex portion of the Saturday morning. They're going a whole 3-week angle starting this Saturday on the Vortex, and then it'll continue on to the 16th, where they'll appoint a new general manager. Yeah, Mick Foley is GM on there. He's good with kids, so it fits. More Mick Foley, cool. Saturday Morning Slam needing a GM? Okay, I wasn't sure about that, but if they want to, sure.
It's an hour-long show on Saturday mornings. Is it really neat?
Lindsay, it's a half...
What?
It's a half hour.
Okay, even worse. It's a half hour long. Does it really need a GM?
And if you cut down the commercials like 22 minutes...
Now you're just getting picky.
But I'm pretty much there with it. Yeah. Why does this show require a GM? Honestly, like it's a 22-minute show. That when you take out the pre-tape matches, it's about 15 seconds. But why?
If he's on for a minute each week, it's not a big deal, and he can always film a bunch of them. You know, he shows up on TV once a month and tapes them all.
Yeah, but it's basically WWE Kids Magazine on video. That's what it is. It's got one match, and then all the rest are just like pre-taped video segments.
Not really. They've changed the formats around. It's two matches now and just two matches. It's basically what it is. It's not like it was originally. It's just two wrestling matches on the show.
Okay, well, even still, two wrestling matches. You don't need a freaking GM for two wrestling matches.
Well, they do some angles at the end, and, you know, to build up the next week's match. It's
still, you don't need it.
They could have brought back the computer.
The computer works for this.
I guess this is what the CW wanted, I guess. I don't know.
Well, if you want to put an authority figure in, it's like, okay, I guess you can use Mick Foley, because, yeah, great tie-in, Hall of Fame. Make it Hornswoggle!
That would work, too. But we'll see if it actually turns out to be Mick Foley, or if it's someone different. But, yeah, right now it's looking like Mick Foley. So stay tuned to your Saturday Morning Slams, because in the coming weeks we'll have Daniel Bryan in action and Kane on commentary.
Is he actually going to talk, or is he going to sit there and glare?
I think he would talk. Everyone else usually talks, so I think Kane will talk.
I am the color commentator.
But we shall see. You know who else we will see possibly in the near future, Lindsay?
Who?
MVP, because he's apparently done with New Japan. And the question I ask is, a WWE return in his future?
Well, he's always said to never rule it out. And he left on good terms.
Yes. This past week he said on Twitter he's done with New Japan and his projects in the work. But never didn't rule out a return to WWE and, well, basically shut the door on TNA. But would you want to see him back in WWE, guys?
Not really.
Is he doing the same gimmick?
Possibly.
Eh?
So we're all here at On the Rock excited to see the return of MVP to WWE in the near future.
I mean, he would be... Here's the thing, is where does he fit? That's the whole deal, is it's like, okay, you know, you stick him in, you bring him back in, he goes into the upper mid-card, great. But what do you do with him? How do you feud with him? You know, it's that whole entry point back into the company. If he's doing the same gimmick, who is he going to feud with?
He would be a good veteran to get some guys over.
He would.
He would be a what?
A good veteran to get some of the younger
guys.
A
what?
How long has he been in the business, Mace?
I wouldn't call him a veteran.
Compared to, you know, Wade Barrett of the world?
Compared to the Wade Barrett of the world, he has seniority, but he is not a fucking veteran.
Well, what do you consider a veteran?
A guy in the upper echelon who's coming near the end of his career.
Okay, that's a different, you know, term I think of than, you know, veteran. I think of someone with like 6, 7, 8 years of experience and then some.
6, 7 years? No. Veterans are 15 to 20. Seasoned is what you are looking for.
We'll go seasoned. Okay.
Okay.
Technically, he debuted in 2002, so he's been, like, this would be 11 years. So,
He's a good, experienced hand in the ring.
Wow, I didn't know
Can
he debuted.
Can we all agree on that?
Yes. He will be perfect to get Fandango over.
Yes, I agree with that. Fandango! Yes. Who apparently debuts on SmackDown, or kind of debuts on SmackDown. We'll let you make the determination on that on Friday.
Yeah, just make sure you say his name right. But one other thing before we get into Impact in a minute. There's been some...
Actually two, but go ahead.
Alright, what do you got?
WWE is coming back to Salt Lake! Yes!
Okay. Yes, we found this out the other night, and she had a happy...
I was so excited.
Tickets go on sale March 9th for the return of WWE in Utah since, like, a year and a half.
Yeah. Yay! There you go.
Okay, I'm allowed
Thank
to go.
Thank WWE for listening in to my pleas. Wade is not coming. Taker is definitely not coming. Kane is a maybe, and I have no idea about Drew. But yes, hide your men.
Lindsay's on the prowl.
Somebody going down to the airport.
In transitioning, in just a few short weeks, we'll have the WWE Hall of Fame. It was announced this Monday night that Donald Trump is going into the Hall of Fame. And the word around town is that he will be inducted by Ivanka Trump or a mother member of his family. But this is where the story gets interesting. Bruno Sammartino is rumored to be inducted by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It's an interesting choice.
Terry Funk and Jim Ross are possibly the ones, either one or both, will induct Mick Foley into the Hall of Fame. Names like Roddy Piper and Sergeant Slaughter have been thrown around for Bob Backlund, but the one that they're most considering, Maria Menounos, to induct Bob Backlund into the Hall of Fame since they're apparently friends. Think about that. Maria Menounos and Bob Backlund are friends.
Wow.
Yeah, it's scary. And Trish is either Lita or Finley or some choices going around for them. Possibly Edge, but he is unlikely. But we shall see.
Edge would be cool.
Edge would be cool. Go ahead.
Edge would be cool. I don't know about Finley. I would be interested to see Lita.
The reason they're going with Finley is because he was the one behind helping her, you know, throughout her career.
Oh, I know. I totally get that. It's just as far as a speech goes, I think either Edge or Lita would probably give a better speech.
This is true, and I just can't get over Maria Menounos and Bob Backlund.
But think about it. They could bring in Maria Menounos to induct Bob Backlund, and then the next night she could have a Divas match at Mania.
She could become the Divas champion.
She could.
And that would probably be a step up for the belt right now.
Sadly.
But yes, other names are rumored, Ivan Koloff and Kamala, as possible inductions into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Do they really need any more people?
I don't think they do.
I mean, they've got a nice list right now as it is, so it's... They really don't need to go anymore.
No, I'm with you. I think the group they have now is probably one of the best groups they're inducting in general.
Hey, no offense to Kamala and... Who was it?
Ivan Koloff.
Ivan Koloff or Kamala, but it's... I mean, they've got a nice round group, and, you know, Bruno is the headline, which I'm... Sorry to see Foley kind of play second fiddle, but...
But that's Mick Foley's career. He's always a second-tier player.
I know, but it's like, it's Foley. After everything he's done, he should be the headline, and then it's like, oh yeah, we're going to put in Bruno Sammartino in the same year. It's like, oh, poor Mick. But it's like, you really can't say anything because it's Bruno Sammartino, so it's like, what do you do? I don't know, it feels like it's a nice, solid group, and it's not going to go too terribly long, because that's the thing about the Hall of Fame, is if you've never been to it, or you've never sat through the whole thing, it can get incredibly long.
Especially now that they actually have an extra day to tape it, to, you know, edit the thing down for TV, because apparently it's airing on a Tuesday night, since last year it aired before Monday Night Raw, but then back then Raw was only 2 hours, so now it's going to air on Tuesday nights on the USA Network. We'll get to see the condensed version of the Hall of Fame.
Right, which means we'll probably get Foley or Trish, Foley and Bruno, and that's it. And that depends on how long the speeches are. Because good God, I remember when they inducted the Road Warriors the year I went, and God love them, they deserved to stand up there, but they were up there for like 20 or 30 minutes talking. And we're all sitting there, and it's like, can we get to Shawn Michaels now? It's like, no offense to them, but that's why everybody was, like, there was Shawn.
Everybody came to see the Heartbreak Kid.
Well, there was also the year where The Rock's father and grandfather got put in. They actually ended up delaying the entire telecast by half an hour because The Rock wouldn't shut up. Because I remember the first words out of JBL's mouth on the after he got off was, "The Rock forgot the two most important words in wrestling. Go home."
There was also the year that they, I think it was the Ric Flair year where they limited the speeches. Because they were trying to get it on TV really quick.
Yeah, I remember that.
So now they're not longer doing it on Saturday night for that reason. So they can actually give people time to talk and have some fun. So, We should see how that goes. The Hall of Fame is coming in about 30-something days.
It's scary how close Mania is getting. It really is.
Oh, it is, because I had to do the math earlier to, you know, for the special that's coming up we're doing. Yeah.
It's sneaking up.
It's sneaking up on us. Really quick. I think our special starts March 11th, I believe it is.
Oh, my.
So we might have to increase the recording schedule then.
No, we're good. Yeah. We're good on schedule-wise, I think. Possibly.
We're releasing, what, one a day?
Yeah, one a day.
So, yeah, we should be okay for a little bit. We've done up to, what, 16?
Yeah, we're getting there. We're almost there. So, yeah, coming soon, 28 riffs in 28 days about WrestleMania. We'll give you more details on what we're doing at some point.
Actually, technically, it's only 27 because one is a re-release, but
But it's still 28 days.
I know, but we only actually recorded 27 for this series.
Yeah. You know, well, whatever. Let's go to break.
Oh, so now you dictate when we go to break.
I am the producer.
Oh, Lord. All right, well, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We are, of course, brought to you by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com, because I forgot to plug them at the beginning of the show because I got a little distracted. My apologies. So when we come back, we will be talking all about Impact, and oh my God, was it a doozy as they return from England. So stay tuned and listen, and we will be right back.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on. Let me...
Why do you always just end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer.
Shut up. For the trunk route parts.
Why do you think Rob Parrish didn't do it? I mean, we waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big... Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone who was listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Wow.
God damn it, jobber.
What I do?
I'm Bob Plus, your Godfather tree for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Showtime Eric Young, host of Off the Hook Extreme Catches, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Crack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by PWMania.com, bringing us our latest Impact results and, of course, MemblingPromo.com as well. Go there for all your memorabilia needs. Do they still have the Anderson promo code going on?
No, but you can follow on Twitter at Memorabilia Lane, and they have promotions going on all the time.
They do, and they also give free giveaways during shows. So, not our show, but during Raw, SmackDown, and Impact, I believe they do give away free stuff. So, follow them, go to their website, buy their stuff. We would greatly appreciate it because, well, they're awesome.
There you go.
But I'll tell you what else is awesome.
What's that?
Impact tonight.
Yes, it was. Tonight's Impact was really good.
Even though they were back in the Impact Zone, and it made me a little sad that they were back in the Impact Zone, it was still a fantastic show tonight.
And tonight you really could tell they were back in the Impact Zone, but we'll get into that as we go through the show.
Yes, we will. So the show opens up where they do, of course, they do the recap of the events that happened at the end of the show last week in London, and then we cut to earlier today where the roving camera crew catch up with Bully and Brooke as they're arriving in the building backstage. Brooke said that Hulk is, you know, healing and he's trying to get better after the Aces and Eights took him out last week. Basically, the update is there is no update. Bully basically has enough talking and hurries Brooke inside the building to tell him that there's really nothing to talk about. So there's that. So it was an interesting way to kind of sort of start it, but then the real fireworks kick off when Bully Ray comes out to the ring. And, well, he's a little ticked off.
Bully Ray was a little pissed off tonight.
He had a mat tonight. He walks out on stage and approaches the announce position looking for Taz, but, of course, once again, Taz is absent, to which that earns a comment from Bully that, well, Taz is a coward.
He is such a coward, but, you know, he said on Twitter, the show doesn't start till he gets there, so...
This is true, and well, Taz wasn't there yet, so technically the show hadn't started yet. But anyway, Ray makes his way down to the ring, and he says he's never been more pissed off than he is right now. He says Aces and Eights has ruined everything and injured half of the TNA roster. He said last week was supposed to be great because he was teaming with Hogan, but Aces and Eights ruined it. So he vowed to get his hands on D-Von so bad that he will never, ever... Oh, wait, wrong person. Want to step foot in the wrestling ring again.
And then you got EC Dub, by one or two people in the crowd.
Yes, and the reviewer puts, yep, they're back in the impact zone.
They clearly were tonight.
Ray then said that he wants to address the man he faces for the TNA title at Lockdown, and I actually got really excited for a second, because the way that Ray phrased this was a man that had been beaten up by Aces and Eights, and I got really excited because for a second I thought it was EY.
But it was not EY, it was Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, in pink, sporting bright fuchsia pink tonight. Let's see, after a 4-week absence, Hardy reemerges on stage, applauding the crowd, and then he walks towards the ring with both title belts over his shoulder. Hardy takes his victory lap before he enters the ring. Ray said, never in his wildest dreams, bro, did he think they would be standing across the ring from each other, competing for a major singles title.
Not only did he say major singles title, he said the most important championship in pro wrestling, the TNA World Heavyweight title.
Yeah. Race, they have history together. Then he said he doesn't feel right about getting this title shot this way. Ray said he didn't even wrestle to impress Hogan to get the title shot, and he doesn't think this is the way he wants to earn the title shot. Ray said he doesn't think he's the right guy to fight him. Hardy thought things over before saying it's great to be back on Impact. Cue in the zone. Cue pop.
Cheap pop because they're only there for 2 more weeks.
Yeah, cheap pop, and then you go back out on the road, Jeff. Hardy said that he would have chosen Ray if he were Hogan. They've swung a lot of chairs, climbed a lot of ladders, and broken a lot of tables. Now they'd like to take it to the cage. Hardy told Ray, excuse me, that he may be the best man to win. But then suddenly, out of nowhere, we get the awesome, the epic Christopher Daniels ass in jeans with an Appletini to boot. Daniel's music interrupts, and our most favoritest duo in TNA, Bad Influence, walk out on the stage. They then march down to the ring to some boos. Both of them looked highly good tonight, as they were both in jeans, and just, yes, my little fangirl heart just fluttered. Kaz says that Ray, and we should go on record as he was not Ray. No, he's Raymond.
As you see across the flashing across the screen as well tonight.
Yes.
Everybody loves Bully Raymond.
Yeah. Kaz says Raymond is right that he shouldn't feel good about this because he didn't earn this title shot. He knows that Raymond didn't defeat anyone, but his daddy-in-law gave him this title shot. McMahon Helmsley era, anybody? Just like he gave Raymond his daughter. Kaz said he can't blame him for that because someone has to rub the tanning lotion on Brooke's backside and tweet tasteless photos. Which was a great shot. Daniel speaks next, and he says that he should be TNA champion because he's allergic to Hardy's face paint. He then noted that Hardy, who is Jefferson, and Raymond can fight each other at Lockdown like two not real men. Daniels gave the crowd permission to worship them, but Raymond took away the mic and the drink. He then slowly drinks the Appletini and proceeds to refill it by dribbling it out of his mouth, which was positively disgusting. Ray then takes a shot of his own, saying, real men don't drink Appletinis, and then he throws the spit-laden alcohol into Daniel's face. Which was gross. But in any event, after that, a fight breaks out, and the heels at least bail out onto the floor. Ray then books himself in a tag match with Hardy against Daniels and Kaz for later on in the night. Apparently, Bully is in charge of tonight's show with Hogan, quote unquote, recovering from last week's injury.
Yeah, that's what people think. But yeah, this was a really strong opening segment. It starts the build to Lockdown between the two, and it booked the main event for tonight. Can't go wrong there.
Oh, it was a It was a great opening. Daniels and Kaz. I mean, how can you go wrong with those two?
You really can't. And I liked when Daniels got into the ring, how he was making sure that the apple tea did not spill as he entered the ring.
And I loved his shirt tonight.
Should explain to everyone what his shirt was.
He was wearing an amazing Spider-Man shirt. It was great. It matched his pants very nicely.
It did. It was well done. Great opening segment. Start the show off hot. We then get hype for what's to come tonight, including the gut check. And a title match between Tara and those guys, which we'll get into in a minute. But backstage, we have Sting talking, talking to himself, going over a whole list of names. Magnus is sitting on the couch. He wants Sting to pick up for Team TNA, and Sting asked why. Magnus said the company took a chance on a 22-year-old green as grass wrestler, and Sting mentored him throughout. He said that means the world to him, and he wants to repay Sting by having his back. And for Team TNA come lockdown. So, could Magnus be part of the team? We shall find out.
I don't know.
But up first, it is Velvet Sky and Tara for the TNA Knockouts Championship with Gail Kim on commentary. And it was announced that she will face the winner of this match at lockdown for the title.
This is a really good match. It was short,
It was short, but good. Velvet Sky was able to retain the title, and it looks like we will get Velvet Sky and Gail Kim at lockdown in 10 days.
Which should be good.
Looking forward to it. Gail Kim is an awesome worker, and Velvet Sky has improved, and so we should have some fun come lockdown between these two.
Yes, we should. I'm actually looking forward to it. It should be a nice competitive match between the two. You know me, I enjoy good women's wrestling.
Yes, you do.
I want to take the dead Muppets off of Velvet's feet. I'm sorry! That's what they make me think of! I just see these gigantic pink tubes on her legs, and it's like, I want to take them off. I don't like them.
Hey, it's better than that other thing she was wearing.
I prefer the cat suit to the dead Muppets.
You're the only one, I think.
Well, yeah, you like it because she looks like a cheerleader.
Not complaining.
I know you're not complaining. I'm just saying, the only reason you like it is because she looks like a cheerleader in the outfit.
Nothing wrong with that.
Hashtag typical man.
Damn right.
Anyway, speaking of, I guess, other typical man problems, backstage we have Austin Aries, who's on the phone with Bobby Roode. He announces a 3-way title match at lockdown, where they will be defending their tag team titles against Team Mexico and Bad Influence, to which our mole, Rock, called, by the way.
I'm the mole, sure about that one, really?
You're the mole, you're going back and telling them all these ideas.
Right, I was the one who told you, and yeah, it so happened to happen on TV, right. So, I'm the mole, right. Just like you didn't kill any duckies.
Did I kill a ducky?
Yes, you did.
I did not kill a ducky. I just took a ducky out of a picture. There were no harming of any duckies.
I think there was harming of a ducky. I saw harming of a ducky.
How the hell can you see harming of a ducky? Were you watching my computer screen?
It was there one moment, and then it was gone. You
heard the late me. Ate it.
No, you harmed the ducky.
Look, just because I said ducky go down the hole does not mean anything.
That's proof right there. She killed the ducky.
I did not kill the ducky.
Lindsay Ward is a ducky killer.
I'm not a ducky killer. God. But if you want to see the proposed picture in question, go to my DeviantArt, lindsward.deviantart.com, and check it out. It's the first one in my gallery.
Shameless shill.
You set it up.
Damn right.
Anyway, back to Impact. We find out about the 3-man match as Austin Aries is on the phone asking Bobby Roode where he is because, well, he's late for their photo shoot.
They have a photo shoot? Yeah, okay.
Well, they have to get they have to get pictures with the new titles. That's how this works.
I know. It's a shame we didn't get to actually see the photo shoot, because that would have been funny.
Oh, I'm sure we will. The pictures should be up on TNA.com shortly. Or ImpactWrestling.com shortly. Anyway, Chavo and Hernandez basically tell Aries, well, he's got a match tonight, and he's not booked against Chavo. Oh, no. He's booked against Mr. Supermex himself, Hernandez. This, of course, flusters Aries, who is gearing up again for his photo shoot and not a match. But after this, the roving cameraman then catches up with Kenny King, cue Alan Wojcik squee, asking him, what's up with him? The cameraman notes that RVD is the X Division champ, causing King to stutter. King then approached RVD to have him tell America that he is the top X Division wrestler. RVD told him that if that's the case, then why isn't he the champ? King asked back if he can beat him for a third time. RVD said he'll make him a deal. He'll put the title on the line against King tonight. But if King doesn't win, then he leaves the X Division for good.
So we got ourselves a little fight coming up tonight, don't we?
We got a couple fights tonight, don't we?
Yeah, we do. So yeah, we got an X Division title match coming up. So that should be a lot of fun. What up next? Taz finally made his way to, you know, commentary position. So the show's about to begin, and we start off with Austin Aries and Hernandez.
Oh my god, Kankins, you are so grounded.
What'd he do?
Atlin's Ward is a ducky killer. Hashtag ducky go down the hole. You are in so much trouble.
Well,
the corner!
Well, he is stating a fact. You did kill the ducky.
I did kill the ducky!
Because you know, everything you hear on the internet is true.
Go see the State Farm commercial. Everything on the internet is not true. I did not kill the ducky.
I still think you did, but we shall move on from you being a ducky killer.
Oh, whatever.
So this match, not bad.
It was all right. I guess Hernandez left his shorts at the cleaners.
They were kind of small.
I think they got a little shrunk and a little dyed. I guess that's what he wears under the shorts. It was okay. I mean, it wasn't my favorite, but it was good. Aries was good.
Aries was good as always. It was a solid matchup. Austin Aries was able to pick up the victory when he was trying to use the belt. Then the referee stole the belt. Hernandez was about to use the belt. The referee was stopping it. Austin Aries pulled out a chain and hit Hernandez in the face and put the chain down Hernandez's tights to pick up the victory.
I can make a comment, but I'll be good.
Okay. So, moving along, we're backstage where Joseph Parks is learning all about a rib.
And those ribs did look good.
He was... So he was, you know, eating a rib, offered to him by Sting. That was tremendous. He learned about a rib. And basically, Park was trying to pitch himself to being a part of Team Sting throughout this. Then he saw Matt Morgan with a big beard walk by and asked him to join TNA. Team TNA. Morgan said he sees Hogan put Sting up to this. He said Hogan should have thought about that when he didn't name him No More Contender. Morgan, having now intimidated Sting with his size and presence, told Sting that he's guilty by association with Hogan, so his answer is no. So Matt Morgan is back to doing nothing. And
but oh my god, that beard, it looked like he ate Mark Henry and kept it as a trophy. Dear Lord! So anyway, yeah, sorry. I saw, it's like Morgan turns around and there's just like nothing but beard. It's like somewhere EY's beard is extremely jealous because that's just like thick and all manly.
Yes it is.
And making Rock even more awkward. Yeah!
Oh, I just did some photoshopping and tell on Dustin TV. Anyway, moving along.
What did you do?
I did some photoshopping. That's all I did.
What did you photoshop?
I was paying along to a conversation in the chat room. I made them happy. I gave them Photoshop. Undertaker.
Oh, dear God.
It's an Undertaker Photoshop. You know. So as we take a moment here on live on the rack, which is brought to you by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com to look at some photoshopping. So.
I don't like the title, Hager. Oh, my dear Lord. Really?
They were talking about it in the chat room.
They were talking about Taker being in The Hangover.
They wanted to see Taker with the baby. Like he is in The Hangover. So there you go. They got it. I deliver. Because remember, Lindsay, we're for the fans.
Yes, we are. We're for the fans.
And I'm giving back to the fans. Live in our chat room. Anyway, Joseph Parker was awesome in this segment.
Oh, he's great. He's absolutely fantastic.
No, Joseph Park to win. As we move on to our X Division Championship matchup of the evening, Rob Van Dam and Kenny King. Really good matchup until the finish. Basically, what the finish was, RVD goes to the top rope. Everyone thinks 5-star Fox Splash. No, he goes for the 450. Misses. Kenny King rolls him up. 1, 2, should have been the 3, but Van Dam apparently kicked out. So, yeah, that didn't happen, so he had to pull Van Dam up and do his finish, his actual finisher for the finish as RVD's title reign ends tonight, and Kenny King is now the X Division champion. I believe Earl Hebner was the referee in this matchup, correct?
He was the referee. Up again, cue the Wojcik squeak, because Kenny King is now your X Division champion. It just looked like that. When he missed the splash and he kicked out, there was that moment of confusion that even they had, which it's live TV, folks, where it's like Hebner was going, no, no, he kicked out, King wasn't sure, and Rob was just kind of laying there. Rob's, so I wonder if he bonked his head.
He might have bonked his head and forgot about it. But yeah, this is the one, before we move on through the match, you screwed Brett, chance directed at Earl Hebner.
Yeah, we did. I will be so happy when they go out on the road. That cannot come fast enough.
The Impact Zone was making it clear we're back.
How dare you leave us for 4 weeks?
Did you miss us?
Not really.
She has Arsene and King. Interesting. So we shall see what happens. My guess is we get a rematch at Lockdown.
Probably. Which isn't a bad thing.
No, it's not.
To have Rob, I'm okay with that. But, you know who else we may get on the pay-per-view?
Who's that?
No, you didn't say it right. Say it right.
I'm saying it. She hears Aces and H. She thinks Wes Briscoe. There was no Wes Briscoe. Lindsay had a sad for a few minutes.
I did. I wasn't happy.
But that would change.
Yes, that would change if I had to wait for the entire friggin' show for it. But anyway... once again, everyone assembles in the ring. Devon takes the mic and says he wants to get something straight. Devon said Sting honestly thinks he has a team to take on Aces and Eights. He said he doesn't know what Sting is thinking, but apparently he's drinking Hogan's Kool-Aid. Devon said this is the team that will dominate TNA, even though they've been losing. He said this club will dominate 2013. Again, they've been losing.
They won last week. They won
they did.
Last week.
They did. They did, but they haven't won before that. Anyway, Devon said Hogan is promising empty dreams and broken necks, so this will be just like Bound for Glory. Devon claimed, he said, this time Sting will be leading his team to the slaughter. Sting's music answered Devon's declaration, and then Team TNA's captain came out onto the stage. Sting said he'll testify that his first teammate is going to get a killer response because, well, he's a killer. And out comes the Samoan submission machine himself, Samoa Joe, to which it's like, all right, we're getting serious now.
Joe's gonna kill you, Joe's gonna kill you.
And he had that look on his face like he was gonna mess somebody up.
He was hungry, he wanted to fight.
Yeah, he did. You could tell, like, he just, yeah. He had that glare.
Yes, he did.
Joe slowly walks out onto the stage to stand behind Sting, and he then glares towards Aces and Eights. Sting then said, "This guy is really sorry," to which Devon replies, "Sorry about what, you miserable moron," which is a nice setup, because, of course, this led to James Storm, "Sorry about your damn luck," which brings a very good-looking Mr. Storm for tonight. And he's dressed for, apparently, a night on the town. Instead of his spiky hat, he opted for a baseball cap and ripped up jeans, to which Lindsay says, "Thank you."
Told you your sab wasn't going to last very long.
Yeah, well, you know, I figured this was when I was going to get somebody. Up next, of course, was Magnus making his victorious return to the Impact Zone, and he is the fourth member of Team TNA, joining Storm Joe and Sting. But then we have number five, because this is, after all, 5-on-5. Sting said he will name a fifth member. Anderson cuts Sting off and demands to know who his fifth partner is, and Sting shouted, "Well, it's showtime!" Twice.
Anderson was having a man. I know that's your catchphrase. Yeah, showtime. I get it. Who's your fifth partner? Come on, just tell me. Who is it?
Yeah, which is great, and of course we're all going, "It's showtime, oh my god, it's showtime, because the camera pans back to the ring, and who's standing behind the Aces and Eights but Eric Young and his beard!
Eric Young is back, woohoo!
Yay! He's back from fishing! Or I should say, his broken leg! A fight then breaks out in the ring before Team TNA can get down there. Eric Young starts taking on everyone. He's then joined by his teammates, who clear the ring, and they all stand there and they glare each other. So we're going to have, and I have to read this because it's from the recap. So it's the bearded fisherman, a cowboy, a joker, a killer, and a gladiator versus the fake bikers at the Alamo Dome next Sunday.
The fight is on in a cage.
Which I'm actually kind of looking forward to this, because it's an interesting mix.
It is an interesting mix, and I'm glad to see EY is back, and they're putting him in a prominent position inside the lockdown cage.
Although, is it really wrong that I wanted them to include ODB in the match and have her take out some of the guys?
Well, it's a good thing you mentioned ODB. I have something. Let me give me a second. I will pull it up if Twitter works. Because she tweeted during the show, after finding out about Eric Young. Let's see, what did the ODB have to say? "I heard my hubby," Showtime EY, "was in the Impact Zone. Damn it, he told me he was fishing. Hashtag bam."
Yes.
So we will get the reunion of ODB and Showtime EY at some, probably in the next few weeks.
To which we will all have a happy, because those two are just money together. And I still want him to take her on his fishing show, because that would be awesome.
That would be fun, because season 2 is coming up. I believe he just finished wrapping season 2 of Off the Hook Extreme Catches.
Which you can catch on Animal Planet.
Probably this summer.
Yes. Stay updated for time, because we're not entirely sure. But if you want to hear about his interview from season 1, go to our archives and listen to it. Either at RackRadioShow.com or WildTalkRadio.com.
Well, you're free to plug our website. Anyway. Good job.
What?
Good job.
Thank you.
I was saying, good job. You plugged the website. Very well done. You get a cookie.
Sweet! I get a cookie!
We're now gearing up for Gut Check, featuring former WWE developmental diva and tough enough contestant Evelise, is her name, right?
Envelise.
They had a nice video package about her, talking about her journey to the Gut Check. They also had a video about, how do you say her name? Lay Tapa or something like that?
Lady Tapa, I believe, yes.
Lady Tapa. We had a nice video package about her. She is the daughter of the Barbarian. So there you go. And that would be our Gut Check of the evening. Envelise and Lady Tapa. Lady Tapa is really green, but she is huge.
Yeah, she is. She's not small.
I was really impressed by Envelise tonight.
I was too, but... Well, we have someone stalking before we get there.
Do we?
We do.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Kurt Angle was stalking the assassinates after the furious beatdown they received from Team TNA. That is right.
Yes.
But then we get to the match, Evelise and Lady Tapa.
Which it was okay. It had some really good moments. But it wasn't the best I've seen, and I think that's just because Lady Tapa is still very green.
They worked a different style. She played the big role, the big person role, and Evelise was trying to play the small version. And she showed off her MMA skills, and she went for a few submissions in the matchup, including the finish, which she was able to make her tap.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice match. It was an impressive match. And Evelise was impressive because she was going at it. They both were. And I would say they both were impressive more.
Yes, I look for her to get a contract, and I don't think they need to send her to development. I think she's ready because, from all reports, she was really impressing people in WWE before she was let go.
Yeah. And the girl definitely has talent. She definitely has a knack for the business. So it's... I like Evelise and Tough Enough. I was really upset when she had to leave due to injury.
Right.
Because I actually really liked her because she was on that show that was actually a legit fighter. Possibly sent her to OVW to help train her up just a little bit, just to kind of help refine her out.
She has the natural ability. She just needs to learn how to use it.
Right. I snap me in half, but, you know, just a little bit. She's a little hard to connect to. Austin Aggett, so he will pull for...
You know, be Austin Aries. And stir the pot.
Which is... It's wrong. I keep thinking, it's like, God damn it, I wish Austin Aries and Punk were together. Just for this...
Just snap. Basically said, you don't get... Then walked away and sped off on his motorcycle. So, it looks like, AJ Styles is maybe doing some drugs. But AJ Styles is not the AJ Styles we once knew.
No, he's not, and it's kind of a different character twist for Styles. Just a bit.
Just a bit, just put on, you know, Pierce.
Yep.
That sort of thing.
That sort of thing, but, it worked, and it was a good segment without it. You know, it definitely sold the fact that it changed, which is what they're trying to sell.
Yes, it is. That's exactly what they want to try. So he's different. He's changed to the Impact Zone at some point.
Yes.
Or I should say, on the road, because, you know, if he shows up at the Impact Zone, no one will be there.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen. AJ's going to decide to come back and go to Orlando, and oops, nobody's there.
My bad.
Oops.
Didn't get the memo.
But, what?
Didn't get the memo. We're on the road.
Oops. Yeah. Come find us. Tag, you're it. But anyway, another set of drama, or another aside to the drama, I should say. After we recap AJ Styles' issues, we have a recap between Robbie E. and Rosa Breaker. And they cut him back, standing in the ring. He quietly has to admit that there is an issue, and that sometimes you just have to be the bigger bro, or admit when somebody is the bigger bro than you. Bro ring, and Robert said this has gotten out of hand.
He did. He scared the ever-living crap out of Robert the ring.
Dude, he scared the ever-living crap out of me, and I'm in Utah! I mean, Mike, that man is scary.
Interesting segment. Looks like we're getting Robbie E and Robbie T either on Impact or at Lockdown. Most likely, probably Lockdown.
I would guess Lockdown because it's next week.
It's next week. Backstage, we have Austin Aries, and this time he's trying to talk some stuff to Bully Ray. Aries said he's pulling for Bully Ray, which, right, he told Aries up. Ray told, build up Aries, you know, talk about how good he is. Good tag team champion. And he should, you know, he knows something about being tag team champion. You're wearing that tag belt because you're not getting the TNA title anytime soon because Bully Ray is going to be fighting for the TNA world title at Lockdown. Ray told Aries to get out of his face. And Eric said, yeah, that's fine, and then told Ray to say hello to Brooke for him. And Billy Ray said, wise ass. Looking around, looking for the aces and eights some more, and he finds the clubhouse, which freaked Taz out a little bit.
Which, you made me wonder, why didn't anybody think of this before now?
I don't know.
It's like when Joseph Park was missing, why didn't anybody think to follow them?
It looked like it was only, like, around the corner.
Yeah, kind of did.
Just saying. Billy Ray against Daniels and Kazarian.
Great-hastic match.
it was a really good match. The finish saw, when his shirt dropped him down on the electric chair drop, Hardy hits the Swanton for the victory. Really good match. Not sure it built much, but it was an excellent TV main event.
Strong. And obviously, I guess, a little bit between Bully and Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
But, in overall, it was a good match. It was a solid match. It did what it needed to do, which was it. Ultimately, it was a... But he's in the clubhouse, and he finds Mr. Anderson and beats him down. He crashes the Mac Devon with a pipe. Devon, a really big, fully masked and clothed member of Aces and Eights, stands up. Daniel demands to know who he is before the two have a fight. Our bottles are smashed, things are thrown. The masked man ends up on his back, out of camera shot and angle, demands to know who he is. Again, takes off his mask and in mock surprise, demands why. Why? Why?
He said, holy, the hell is this? And why? Why did you do this? Why did you do this? And then the other Aces and Eights members, including Wes Briscoe.
Wes!
Began taking out Kurt Angle, choked him a bit, and they left him laying in the clubhouse as Impact closes. So the man has been unmasked. The question is, who is it?
That's the question, I guess. Maybe we find out this week. But I have to laugh, and I need to go back and watch and see if Wes Briscoe was wearing these pants in England. But apparently he does read his Twitter. Because he did take my friend and I's fashion advice. So apparently he does read his Twitter. Just out.
Follow Lindsay Atlin's word.
Yes, as I tweet my shenanigans to the world.
I like the cliffhanger. I like it. If Kurt Angle shows up on TV next week, we might get an idea of who it is, because he knows who this is. I'm not sure. But he's a big dude, so it makes you wonder who it is.
Yeah, I wonder who it could be. I mean,
It was a holy-you-know-what moment for Kurt Angle, so that means the person, it's got to be a big name?
I would hope. The question is who's available that's built like that? Because Hogan's not built like that. Bischoff's not built like that.
This is true.
So the question is who is it? Could it be... You know, who kind of is built like that?
To the Google-ness of the world, maybe? Search the databases and try to fill it.
Built like that.
Joseph Park is built like that. Could have been Abyss.
Well, then I say we take our next break.
Yes, we should. And this is a friendly reminder for people who may or may not be listening. You know, a PA is basically a gopher. If you didn't know that, well, you might.
Anyway, that was kind of bizarre, but anyway, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and when we come back, we're going to be talking all about our discussions, including the WWE shop, The Undertaker, or wherefore our tribute to the late, great JSK. And we will also have our beloved tweet right back.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait and made out with your daughter.
imply that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a dick bang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a... fucking martial art or this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? It gets weirder and weirder. Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Why are you doing the battle over here?
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you
have.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust.
What, Mr. Sumi in the sky?
Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know if you...
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm gonna wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Hey, Margarita!
Oh, I hate that song. Rock, I think you just replaced the song in my head with the worst song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass Macarena.
Macarena
style. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
I don't care what y'all say.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network. Keep listening, because Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack. And my friends are just as creepy as me. I didn't go to boarding schools. Preppy girls never looked at me. Why should they? I ain't nobody. Got nothing in my pocket.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by PWMania.com and MemLanePromo.com. Check them out for all your memorabilia needs, because they've got some awesome stuff. If you're just joining us, you missed our Impact recap, which, of course, it was a fantastic show, so if you get a chance to go check it out, go check it out, because it was cool. But now we have our favorite segment, which, of course, is Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So who wants to go first?
Does Mace, you have any?
Give me a minute.
Since you
stole for me!
Since you don't have any at the moment. I think, Lindsay, we should take people on an adventure.
We should?
We should start with the adventure of February 23rd. Which was what? Saturday,
I think, into Sunday.
Saturday night. Do you know where I'm going with this now?
Yeah, you stole my tweet, you bastard, but go on.
No, I'll let you go then. We'll start on an adventure. Go for it.
Oh, we're going to do this together?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Go for it.
Well, if you don't know the adventure that we're referring to, it is the adventure of when a drunk cowboy by the name of James Storm took to his Twitter at about 4 o'clock in the morning. But he wasn't alone, oh no. But we're going to start the adventure with, of course, and this is a visual, with James Storm demonstrating redneck yoga. And I am putting the link in the chat room as we speak. So there you go. It is then followed up with, well, James Storm decides he doesn't want to be alone anymore. He doesn't want to drink by himself. He needs some company. So who does he tweet? Why, he tweets our most favoritist lawyer, Joseph Park. To which Storm says, so at Joseph Park underscore ESQ, so you've passed the bar exam but have never had, okay, hold on, I'm trying to correct this and I can't. So you've passed the bar exam but never have to deal with the Cowboys bar exam. Yep, the shiznit is on. And that's actually what he said.
So, I'm going to take us back a little bit, okay, before we continue on the adventure.
You're going to take us back.
Take us back a little bit. It started with, yep, 3:36 in the morning, rookies are asleep, and pros are still going. At Joseph Park underscore Esquire, come on, rookie. And James Stern was also tweeting with Bob Ryder. He goes, this is not Cowboy, it's Trooper Daniels with Metro Police Department.
Storm was drunk.
So, let's continue the adventure. Or do you not have any more?
Well, I was going to let you be Joseph Park.
Oh, I get to be Joseph Park? Okay. So, Joseph Park goes, the Cowboy, to Cowboy underscore J underscore Storm, teaching me how to plank. This guy is so cool, he's teaching me the ropes. And what you'll see in a minute on your players is, well, James Storm planking for Joseph Park. He's teaching the young kid how to plank. He's teaching him the ropes.
While on the phone.
These two must have been sharing a room together.
Does he have a bong in his hand?
I don't know.
I just noticed this.
No, that's not a... That's a phone and a bottle.
I don't know, though. It kind of looks like a bong.
No, it's a bottle of some sort. It's a, something with a cap. So it might be a Coke bottle, beer bottle. I don't know. It has a cap on it.
Yeah, but it's got a fat bottom.
It's not that fat of a bottom. I don't know. Maybe it's a water bottle. I don't know.
If anybody in the chat room can identify what James Storm has in his hands, please let us know.
Yes. So, that's that adventure. And he continued. He started tweeting Billy Gunn. Dad, you should really learn how to take pics. She looks a little dark. Could just be a really good tan. That's from James Storm to Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn replies, son, it's mom. Little upset that I've tried calling you and you haven't returned my calls. Miss you. And then James Storm replies, hey mom, look beautiful as always. Don't think you called the right number. The adventures of James Storm on Twitter, especially at 4 a.m. on a Saturday night.
When he's drunk as hell.
When he was drunk. We were sitting here talking, and we noticed that James Storm is doing his tweets. He was tweeting Joseph Parks, but he really wasn't tweeting him. And then he realized he wasn't tweeting him, because he was waiting for him to respond, and he never responded because he actually wasn't tweeting him.
Yeah, he was getting the, he was misspelling Joseph.
Yeah, he was. I have a couple others from Zack Ryder. Spoiler alert, tonight live on At WWE Raw, Long Island IZ versus catering. Sheamus, did you see me dressed as an Undertaker? Not the Undertaker. Hashtag Sheamus, Oscar snubs, Raw. Finally from AJ, last night's main event was so good it reminded me why I actively stalked both participants. Used to stalk. I mean, love you, Ziggy. Love AJ on Twitter.
She's amazing.
I quickly pulled up a couple of hers because there were ones that stood out to me over this past week. The first one I've got, this is something that I've... Yes, it's very typical AJ, but I could also see Lindsay saying the exact same damn thing. But this is what AJ has put down. With that said, I'm a 115-pound chick and I squatted 200 pounds today. Personal best. Someone give me a medal, damn it, or a cookie. I'll take a cookie.
Yeah, I would do that.
The other one that AJ posted was a reply. One of her fans asked her, I look forward to AJ stalking of at Steph McMahon now being done on Twitter. AJ's reply, I prefer heavy breathing during a blocked call.
Yes!
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. No, I'm
just... Yes, Rock, you keep your mouth shut.
I'm being told I need to keep my mouth shut.
Keep your mouth shut.
Lawyers will be involved and stuff.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut and tell me after the show.
Yeah,
we'll tell you after the show.
But I'm actually going to plug one of my own tweets only because it's a reaction to something that I'm quite sure we would all say if we were given the chance.
Okay.
The first tweet comes from Mark Searles. He's the editor of Kotaku Australia. And he tweeted out this morning, it's taking all mental energy I can muster not to post that JB Hi-Fi Harlem Shake video on Kotaku. I must stay resolute. My reply, and he knows I'll follow this up, if you post it, I will track you down and kick you in the nuts. He retweeted and favorited that tweet.
Oh, by the way, here's a sneak peek. My rant's going to be about the Harlem Shake, so you've been warned.
Awesome.
Oh, dear.
And you know, I'm just going to say this now because where else can I really put it? Because, let's face it, I don't think we're going to be able to pull Omega on this week. Or are we going to pull Omega on this week?
He's saying no.
He's saying no?
Yes.
Well, if he is listening, I only have one thing to say to him. You sound like Walnut. You'll know.
You sound like...
Don't even try to comprehend it.
Okay.
He understands. We'll move on.
Okay. Fair enough.
And one last thing, because I saw this before the show. Heel Ziggler, Cleveland at WWE Sunday 5 p.m., showing off my little angel at WWE AJ Lee at home and in the ring. Ready to meet my parents, babe? AJ replies, I've been having lunch with your parents every Wednesday and Friday since the day after we started dating, but I'm still psyched. So there you go. That's Tweet of the Week, unless Lindsay has some more.
Yeah, I actually have more. Thanks so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Just, you know, hijack my damn show from me.
Oh, I will. Trust me, I will.
Yeah, I know you will. From CM Punk. Somebody asked him, can you beat Cena without cheating? To which he replies, of course. It's just more fun to cheat. And then from Dave Lagana, know less about NASCAR than I do about MMA. Imagine if at Danica Patrick wins the hashtag Daytona 500 the same weekend at Ronda Rousey main events hashtag UFC 157. Just because it was kind of a girl power weekend, so go them.
By the way, shame on CM Punk. He got the Konami code wrong.
And we have an entrant from Kane Kittens. Let's see, at Heel Ziggler, they occasionally mention how lucky you are to be marrying me. Oh yes, someone may have led them to believe we're engaged. And to finish it, from AJ to Heel Ziggler. I'm sorry, these are AJ's tweets to Heel Ziggler. Surprise, huh? Just kidding. I would never ruin these glorious abs. Our adopted child at Big E Langston will have to do for now.
Nice.
So, there you go. There's your tweet of the week. If you would like to submit a tweet of the week to the show, you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn's Ward, or you can submit them media at wildtalkradio.com. You can send them to you can go to the rackradioshow.com website and submit them via our fancy contact section, or you can come in the chat and you can talk to us, and if we happen to see it, we will read it.
Yes, we have a fancy contact section on the Rack Radio Show, on rackradioshow.com.
Yes. We're still trying to work on saying it right. It's only been a week. Takes us at least two.
Yeah, at least two.
But with the frivolity out of the way, I want to actually have this conversation because we have been trying to have it now for 3 weeks.
I think longer.
Yeah, I think longer. So we're going to do this one first, goddammit, because I want to have this conversation.
Okay.
Because I'm actually really excited about it. WWE is
Shit, we're running late on time. We're going to have to leave for next week.
Oh, shut up. WWE has been getting very, 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 very creative with their commercials as of late.
They have.
You haven't noticed they've started running shop commercials during the shows? And it's basically like probably five people or less that shot these. But they're still fantastic. And they're highly creative. I haven't seen these for a really, really, really long time.
There's sort of a throwback in some fashion to some of the older commercials they did in the early 90s at times with kids and people and actual people involved, but these are really getting really creative.
They are, and there's the ones for the WWE app as well. So I guess our conversation is this, is would we like to see these, if you know what we're talking about, would you like to see them expanded? Would you like to see them maybe get a little bit bigger budget? Would you even like to see them maybe involve the talent in some way, shape, or form, like they do commercials with them?
And it sort of started with the Royal Rumble, if you think about it. And that Rumble commercial in the bar.
Which was really... Yeah. And yes, Mace, I saw the Boss Man shirt. It's a win. I also saw the goat face shirt. It's a win. Yes, if you don't know what we're talking about, Mace is on WWE Shop right now, and he is looking at their Outside the Ring t-shirt line, which is amazing. They have a Like a Boss shirt with a picture of the Boss Man on it. They also have one of Vince.
They also have one that says, Alberto borrowed my car, which would have been absolutely awesome last year.
Yeah. It'll be
welcome to the party a little bit late. Hashtag goatface awesome.
There's also a Vince McMahon Like a Boss t-shirt as well.
I saw that, but it's no Boss Man.
It's no Boss Man, but it's something.
The only one I don't like is the youth shirt that's got the WWE title on it.
Yeah, but that's for the kids.
I know, but it's so ugly.
It's a rip-off of the John Cena t-shirt from years ago, and apparently the belt's out of date now.
Well, so are kind of some of the shirts, because they've got, you know... Yeah.
Some of the shirts are, yeah. But going back to the actual discussion, I want to see them do more of these commercials. they're interesting. They're a nice little... They're different than what we see on TV. It's a different style.
I like that they're advertising their own stuff without having dorky vignettes backstage or Michael Cole constantly pushing whatever they're trying to sell throughout the show. It's nice that you have the commercials that actually show you the stuff. And yes, I know that they did the tutorial of the app and all that fun stuff, but it's when you actually see what it can be used for instead of Michael Cole sitting at the show showing the app, you actually see a girl on her couch at home watching the show, and then it goes to a commercial, and she goes to the app, and she gets to see what it can do, and you show the home audience what it can do during the show, that's more effective. And I like that they're going more in that direction to push that kind of thing. Same with the shop merch. It's really creative because you can get, they're not just focusing on one shirt. It's like the one commercial, which they actually have two different versions of. A guy is showing up to pick up another gentleman's daughter on a date, and he keeps having all these different personas until he shows up in, you know, in a WWE shirt. One of them was Daniel Bryan's, and another one was, I think, The Rock.
The latest one is The Rock, yes.
Yeah. So it's, they keep doing that. And they've done a couple other shop commercials, and I wouldn't mind them doing more. Because you can just tell it's basically the WWE shop department that's putting these together. Because they're not the same high-quality production that you normally see from WWE. It's basically they took a camera, they went out, and they filmed these. They're really basic, they're really simple, but they work.
And the new style commercials have been started for a while. They changed the way they do shop commercials, I think, late last year, how they did it in general, and this is just the next evolution, and I'm enjoying them because they actually get, you know, they're putting over the phrases on the t-shirts, like, you know, the one you're talking about with the Daniel Bryan and the Rock in the Picking Up the Girl commercial. They're putting over the catchphrases in the commercials.
Right. The only thing is the Daniel Bryan one, which I think they got pulled because the guy says fuck on it. They bleep it out. But basically, at one point, one of the guys shows up, and he basically says, fuck no, and slams the door in the guy's face.
Right.
So it's that, I think they pulled that one, and they're running the Rock one in its place. But it's still a good job on them, and if it wasn't the shop commercial, if this is a whole viral marketing campaign that they're coming up with, great!
And the commercials are the first step. The second step is, as we were pointing out, the new style t-shirts they're actually putting out.
The new style t-shirts that are coming around, which we're talking about the Outside the Ring line, and also just some of the general shirts that are coming out now, they're more in line with what you're seeing in stores. Like, if you look at the licensed shirts for WWE that are in, like, Hot Topic, they're not the standard WWE shirts. They're really actually very creative. And they all have their own style. They all have different references that go in them. And they're really cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the standard picture of the superstar with the crazy background or, you know, their symbol or whatever. It's they've gotten really creative with their shirts. And this has been a trend that's been happening over the last few years where they're getting more and more graphic in the design, and they're getting more playful in some of the designs.
Yeah, and one thing they're doing is they're more colorful.
Yes, you know, even though the garishly yellow CM Punk shirt,
there's been a lot of better editions of the CM Punk shirt on WWEshop.com, which feature a gray shirt with the yellow, and the gray kind of tones down the yellow.
Yeah, but it's still, they're playing with color. We're not just seeing plain black t-shirts. We're seeing reds and burgundies and blues and yellows and all different colors and styles of shirt, which is really cool to see. And I like how some of the stuff, it's like the I'm a Paul Heyman guy shirt and I'm a Paul Heyman girl. It's just a simple phrase that got uttered in a CM Punk promo, what, almost 2 years ago now?
Almost 2.5 years ago.
But it's a phrase that has caught on, and it's one of their hottest selling shirts.
It's sold out a couple times, I think.
It has. I mean, it's to the point where Paul Heyman is actually getting his own action figure from Mattel. Which, I am waiting for that to come out because I'm so going to go buy it.
At 4 a.m. on a Walmart trip.
Yes, at 4 a.m. on a Walmart trip, which I never do while I'm at work.
No, she does it, like, on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Actually, I could do it on Tuesdays because those are the nights that I can't sleep. But... But I like where they're going with this. I like how they're getting a little bit more mainstream. They're getting a little bit more with the modern references, where it's not just a standard shirt. It's more something you could wear every day.
Right, it's not a wrestling t-shirt. It's a shirt.
Right, it's like, a prime example is the Like a Boss shirt with the Boss Man on it. That's not your standard wrestling shirt. It's, you could wear that every day, and most people wouldn't understand that it's a wrestling shirt.
They think, oh, look, it's a cop.
Yeah, it's a cop. So it's, you would look at it and go, oh, okay, Like a Boss, it's a cop. Okay, you know, and for the people who do know the Boss Man, they would get it, and they would laugh. And that's the point. I think they're more trying to mainstream their merchandise and make it so anybody can buy it, anybody can wear it, and you can wear it every day. Because the thing about it is if you're a wrestling fan, it's like, okay, yeah, you buy the merchandise and you wear the shirts, and at least for me, it's like, yeah, I'll wear the shirts to the shows, but I don't wear the shirts every day.
Right.
I don't wear them out in public. I'm still kind of a closet wrestling fan because there's still that stigma of walking around in a wrestling shirt where people look at you like you're an idiot. And so it's, you know, I'll wear the shirts at night when I'm at work, or I'll wear them to bed, or whatever. I wear them to the gym and work out, that kind of thing. I mean, I do wear them when I buy them, but it's like, I just don't wear them out, like, to school. Or to work, on when I'm working the day shift, or whatever. So it's, I like, it's like the Like a Boss shirt I would wear. The Mysterio shirt I would probably wear, just looking at the lines. The Vince shirt, the Alberto borrowed my car. Would wear that. The hashtag Goatface would definitely wear that. And so on and so forth.
Right. I quite proudly wear my Dolph Ziggler stealing the show and your girlfriend shirt. I wear that out in public all the time.
If I could get away with it, I would.
You'd probably get away with it a lot more than I could.
Well, people out here would look at me a little funny if I was wearing a stealing girlfriend's shirt.
I'm quite sure they wouldn't really object.
No, they would. You don't know where I live.
True. You're in prude country.
Yeah, they wouldn't approve. But yeah, it's like, for example...
I'm actually the complete opposite, you know, when it comes in terms of wrestling shirts. I've always worn my wrestling shirts out anywhere. I truly don't give a shit about what people think of me being a wrestling fan. But with the advent of the shirts going more sort of generalized, mainstreamish, it makes it easier for you to get away with actually wearing them, as opposed to people will look at you and go, oh, he's a wrestling fan.
Yeah, and I have no problem with anybody that does that. It's just for me, it's like people look at me, especially as a girl, and they're like, oh God, you're a wrestling fan? Really? You're a wrestling fan?
Mm.
So that's what it is for me. It's more just been frowned upon in who I hang out with, because it's like, even though they know I'm a wrestling fan, some of my friends, they're just like, oh, okay, well, you know, I don't really talk about it around them, or I don't really mention it, and we have other conversations, and I don't wear the shirts when we go out and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's...
But at the same time, it's a bit of a pain that we're back to that point in the wrestling cycle again.
Where wrestling, I agree.
A taboo that it's... Something to be frowned upon. It's, oh, you're a wrestling fan? You're such a lower person.
Yeah.
And yet and yet these are the same type of people who will walk around with, like, you know, Tima Edwards shirts on still.
Yeah, and that craze is, you know.
Although, I will say, I just going through WWE Shop, because I go through there, and yes, I critique their designs, because the art geek in me does that.
She does.
I do. I
Nerd!
Yeah, just a little bit. I love Dolph Ziggler's abstract shirt, the throwback to the 80s shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome shirt.
Yeah, it's in one of their lines. It's a pretty awesome shirt.
If you haven't seen it, go to WWE Shop and click on the new products stuff, and I think it's under the limited edition section.
That would be
and
it, look yes.
And go look at the shirt, because it's pretty awesome. It's pretty amazing. And I like that, again, I like that they're doing this. I like that they're getting creative. I actually applied for a job with them to kind of handle their shirts, and one of the qualifications was that you have to be up to date on the latest trends, which, you know, it's okay, that's a qualifier, but they're actually tuning into pop culture. They're tuning into what their target audience wants, and they're targeting their products to that.
Right.
Which they haven't necessarily done in the past. And if you go back and you look at a WWE Shop catalog, if you even remember getting those in the mail, you know, 5-10 years ago, you see that the products were very geared towards the superstars. They pretty much made everything you could conceive of to go along with the superstars, but they weren't something necessarily that translated well into everyday life.
Yeah. And just looking at the, like, I'm on the shop now, and looking at the limited edition stuff, like, outside of probably the CM Punk shirt that they've got there, everything else looks like something you'd see standard, like the Miz Haters University.
Yeah, that's a
quick glance, nobody had noticed that that's meant to be like a jerk right. University shirt.
It's a university t-shirt. Oh, you can wear it to the gym. You can just wear it out. People would have no idea. It's an actually pretty nice t-shirt.
Yeah, yeah,
and okay. the Broad Kick Hooligans one for Sheamus looks like it's promoting a beer.
Mm-hmm.
The Orton shirt looks like an Affliction shirt.
Yeah, it looks like one of those goddamn Affliction tap-out douchebag shirts.
But
then
I
again,
like,
that's what a lot of Orton's shirts have looked like over the last few years, though.
Yeah, they kind of got in that style with a lot of the shirts, where for pretty much all the top guys, they started doing that, where it's, we're going to do that hot Affliction kind of shirt.
Yeah.
And now that Affliction is sort of dying down, you're not really seeing it anymore. It's like Triple H's shirt, the new one that he wore Monday night when he came back. It's very graphic, but what's interesting about it is it's a black shirt. It's very simple. It's a black shirt with a white skull, and then it has like a goldish, you know, mustard-colored accents for it.
Mm.
And it's not black. It's an off-black.
But even like outside like the limited edition stuff, take a look at the WrestleMania 2013, the orange shirt.
Yeah.
It looks like something that a overcashed up tourist would buy.
Well, that's their goal.
it looks like something, you know, that somebody would have bought from the 2012 London Olympics or something, you know, one of those type of styles.
But if you think about it, that's exactly what they're going to be selling at WrestleMania for the tourists, and you know everyone's going to buy it.
Yeah, they do that every year for Mania. They do the logo shirts, but it's like the Cody's mustache shirt. The fact that they tapped into Cody's mustache being so over.
Yeah.
And they incorporated it into a shirt.
The love stash, by the way.
Yes, the love stash.
But by the way, I'm going to point this out now. We'll probably point it out again on Sunday, but Omega was right. WWE Championship as a ring.
Yeah.
It works so much better.
Well,
now that they've actually brought out the ring version.
Well, if you notice, they had a ring version for a lot of them.
Yes, but now they've done it for the new championship, and you can see exactly what he meant when he said it.
Well, maybe the champion gets a ring instead of the belt, and he walks around with the ring. I I like the design either way, so it doesn't bother me. But I mean, just sitting here looking at it, a ring, it's like, yeah, it works. It's definitely better than those like crazy face rings that they sell on like the knockoff store sites.
Oh yeah,
those things are just creepy.
Yeah, I'll be honest. The sooner we get the WWE Championship belt with the actual WWE side plates, the better that championship's going to look.
Doesn't bother me either way.
It's just something about the Brahma Bulls on the side just really throws the whole aesthetic of the belt off, an overall design. Whereas the other side plates just look so much better.
Yeah, when you look at it on WWE Shop and they've got the WWE side plates, it definitely looks more official.
Yeah.
I will give you that.
At the moment, it does look more tacky than it should.
I'm not sure. I like how the design with the Bulls. It doesn't take away from it. At least that's my.
Yeah, opinion. But you love everything WWE does, Rock.
Damn right I do.
So anyway, I think
one of these days we're gonna pry your lips off their asses.
Go to WWEshop.com. So you want to transition, Lindsay?
Actually, before we do, I'm gonna go against Kane Kittens and say. Yes, AJ needs Lisa Frank shirts.
She'll just cut them up.
They actually need to have her give a tutorial on how to do that.
Or they just sell some of them like that?
They could do that too.
Mm. But yeah, the idea of her, you know, actually giving a tutorial would be a good idea, considering everybody's trying to copy it, and quite a lot of people are failing.
Yeah, just have her, you know, go on, like, Saturday Morning Slam or something.
Put it out on just, YouTube.
Yeah, I was just about to say, put it out on YouTube.
Put it out on the WWE app. Not that they're listening to us at this point, but...
Anyway,
transitioning out of this, I say we go quickly into our O Undertaker, Wherefore Art Thou Undertaker topic.
Since we're going to do that, well...
Yeah. Well, she sneaks around the world.
We'll have it playing in the background as we get to the whole point of the discussion, Lindsay.
Basically, the whole point of the discussion is this. If you've been living under a rock for the past week, then you probably didn't hear that The Undertaker came back, not at Monday Night Raw, not at SmackDown, but at a house show in Waco, Texas, which has led to a lot of people going, why? And the official story is that he was coming back to test himself out in a match in the ring, which I can totally understand, I can totally see, but at this stage, I'm kind of wondering if that isn't kind of sort of false. Just because I make this point. If The Undertaker really needed a match that badly, they could have had anybody go out to his house. Mm-hmm. And work with him because he has a ring at his house. Mm-hmm. They could have had him fly into Stanford. They could have had him work last Monday night in Nashville because he was in town before Raw. They could have had him come in before the pay-per-view. I mean, there's any number of ways they could have done this without the public seeing it.
But instead, they brought in the public.
But instead, they have him come back in Waco, Texas, which, okay, I understand they don't want to make him travel too far. Fine, Waco is only about 3 hours away from Austin, give or take. So, okay, it's a short little drive for him. It's not too bad. He can come in, do his thing, and he can leave and not be bothered. Totally understand it. It's just, the whole thing is kind of bizarre. Which leads me to ask this question. Because the pictures that showed up in Nashville of The Undertaker, I'm also convinced, are kind of a drop. Just because there are reports from the game that it was never announced he was there, the Predators never did anything with him, and he was never seen by anybody. He just took the 3 pictures, and that was it. Which leads me to believe that they aren't doing something different with him. Which, if they are, it's awesome. And I have to wonder, where in the world is The Undertaker actually going to pop up next?
In New Orleans for WrestleMania? No.
No. Maybe.
Maybe. But if they listen to the show. Hi, WWE.
Yeah, hi, WWE. Please take our marketing campaign and pay us for us. That would be awesome.
Yes.
But here's the thing, is you have The Undertaker, everybody's been anticipating Taker's return. They've been anticipating it since Rumble, essentially. We all know he's coming, we all know the match with Punk is coming, or at least we think we do. So it's okay, we all figure Taker will show up the night after the Rumble, and he'll challenge Punk. Okay, now if the Rumble doesn't happen, fine. Alright, he'll probably show up at Chamber or the night after Chamber. Well, he doesn't show up at Chamber, doesn't show up the night after. But pictures of him do.
Mm-hmm. So where, oh where, will The Undertaker show up next?
And now, I know everybody's expecting him to show up Monday night for Old School Raw. And he very well could. But here's the thing. What happens if they don't do that? What happens if they opt to have, well, The Undertaker maybe sort of start to see CM Punk at a house show?
Maybe this weekend at a house show. Maybe you hear a gong at a house show this week.
Maybe we just hear a gong at a Raw, or maybe it happens at a SmackDown. We don't know. Maybe they do it on, you know, Main Event, or what happens?
Or you could just have it happen at WrestleMania.
You could do that, too.
Because think about it. If you want to hold off on it and hold off on it, what better way would it be if you have CM Punk coming out at WrestleMania complaining, I don't have a match, you guys have passed me over yet again, you know, this is my respect, you know, respect, blah, 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 and all of a sudden, gong. And you go into a match.
I wouldn't even have it just bringing up the respect, because you have Punk getting more and more delusional. And, I mean, he hit every single button Monday night.
He's God.
He's God, and you're just waiting for it. You know, you're sitting there
It's that slow motion floater pitch that you know you're going to hit out of the park, and I'm just sitting there waiting for him to take the swing, and the batter walks off base.
Yeah, it's like you're just waiting for it. You're waiting for the gong. Like, I even typed it in our chat, waiting for the gong. It's like, this is it. Here we go. Punk's going to come out. He's going to cut the promo. Taker was at a house show Saturday night. We know he's coming back. At this stage, he is given the green light. He's going to come back. And we get jack shit. It's like, what the hell is going on? And then again, at the end of the show, you're waiting for something to happen with Taker. Nothing happens. Not even in the slightest hint of him.
Their plan.
And that's what I'm saying. They're doing something different with him. They're doing something viral with him. They're making everybody go, what the hell is going on? Which is exactly what you want. And I was talking to Rock about this after the Raw post show. When was the last time for WrestleMania that we didn't know everything going in by this point?
It's been a while.
I mean, at this stage of the game, we only know really three of the four big matches that are supposed to take place.
Correct. And we're all guessing the fourth.
I mean, maybe...
And we've still got practically a full month, a full 4 weeks.
Five, actually.
A full 5 weeks of speculation ahead of us. And they might not start putting anything out there in terms of, you know, undercard matches and stuff like that until 2 weeks beforehand.
Because here's a hint. They don't know yet.
Yeah, they don't have the undercard book yet. But here's the thing, you know, say they... What if, like you said, what if we don't get Taker until Mania? What if he doesn't actually show up till Mania, but what if he starts screwing with Punk's head? What if, you know, gongs start happening at house shows, or Punk starts seeing druids, or something to that effect, and then he finally goes out there and, you know, calls out Taker. or, you know, cuts this grandiose, delusional speech of how he's God and nobody can touch him, and which, God, I would love to hear. But, you know, it's do that kind of thing where we don't actually see Taker, we don't get Taker until Mania.
And you could have him, you know, the idea is there's a match. The Undertaker versus CM Punk is scheduled, but no one's seen The Undertaker. You've seen the rare appearances, but will he actually show up at WrestleMania? And there's that sense of doubt. You have Punk come out, you know, says he won't show up, he'll never show up, and then you hit the gong.
Yeah, you have Punk make the challenge, and nothing happens, and Punk continues to go on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and nothing happens, and nothing happens, and then he walks out like at Mania, like Mace says, and cuts the promo, and then that's when you get the gong.
It's possible. And then, for all we know, we're overthinking this, and he's on Raw on Monday night.
Oh, I'm sure he will be.
Which means I'd probably prefer my plan to bring him out at Mania, because think about it. If you put it down to the point where you put out a press release, or the company puts out a press release saying that The Undertaker will not be at WrestleMania, dashing all hopes or anything like that, then you have him show up live, practically, quote-unquote, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere!
Could you imagine... If that place had a roof, it would be in orbit.
Well, the only problem with that theory is that Taker is actually going to be at least be in town that weekend, because they've already advertised him for a signing.
Fine, you have him say at the signing, I'm not going to wrestle. You have Punk come out at the thing and challenge him. And Taker says, I'm not wrestling.
Yeah, they kind of screwed the whole idea up when they put me in a signing.
Yeah, when he...
But
it's
salvageable!
It's salvageable, but not really. It's, you know, because then everybody's going to be like, well, why aren't you wrestling? Because I don't want to. You know, it's just... It would be better... It would be better if they...
Sorry, I had a quick thought. Somebody turns around and says to The Undertaker, why aren't you wrestling this year? He turns around and he said, I already made my appearance at New Orleans. Didn't you watch the Super Bowl?
But you can only go that far. No, like, every fan will go, why aren't you wrestling? Why aren't you wrestling? Why aren't you wrestling? Why aren't you wrestling? You know, by a fan 100, he'll be annoyed.
Yeah, it's, and they're going to have to set it up because he's doing the signing. So it's, we will probably, as cool as your theory is, I don't think they're going to do that. Just because he is doing the signing, and for however many people have bought the tickets, he doesn't want to get asked, well, why aren't you wrestling, or are you wrestling, or what's going on? You know, it's that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure he'll probably be in halfway character at that point. But this kind of leads to my other question. When he came back in Waco, and this just could be that either he didn't have his new ring coat yet, or he didn't want to bring Super Shredder out, or basically he's just going to walk out and do a match so he wasn't going to do the full gimmick, are we maybe going to see some kind of character change in him? Because for the last couple of years, we've seen him grow more and more human. Where he shows weakness, he shows kind of his age. Are we going to start to see that?
I would be surprised if they did, but if they're going to do anything, they might sort of pull him back to the American Badass look and the attitude that went along with it, but just without the bike.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, where basically he just dresses in all black and he's got the hair, and but they stop with the gong and everything, or they keep the gong, but they kind of change the music up a little bit.
Where they put a dubstep version out. Be hip with the kids.
By the way, have the Undertaker with the bad hair do the Brodus Clay entrance in WWE 13.
Tremendous.
It's hilarious. Okay, anybody that has the game.
I shall endeavor. Remind me to do that tomorrow.
Okay, I will remind you to do that tomorrow. But yes, it's just, they're making a lot of people ask questions right now about him, which is good. It's what you want. It's... Sorry, go ahead.
It's creating hype.
Right, and that's what they need to do for a match that otherwise really doesn't have any hype. because it's just, it's Undertaker versus CM Punk. You know, it's like, okay, well, eh. And it's, I like the hype of it. I still don't want to see the match, but I like the hype of it. As Rock's like, right, sure, you're going to watch Mania with the rest of us. They're going to sell you by then.
Yeah.
I don't need to talk because we've had the conversation where I said, they're going to sell you. They're going to sell you. She can speak for me at this point.
Yes, I can speak for you at this point. They haven't sold me on the match, but I like what they're doing with the hype. I like that they're making us guess. It's not the standard, you know, Undertaker walks out in the smoke and the gong and basically just points at the ring and goes, you, I want you. You know, there, or you have, you know, Hunter or somebody go, well, I want the Undertaker this year. It's, they're building it to that point where it's, somebody is going to make the challenge. It's just the question of who. Which one of them is going to do it?
Very true.
Because imagine CM Punk looking at the Undertaker and saying, I'm not going to fight you. You're too old. You're washed up. You're too beat up. Go back home. Go back home to your wife. Go back home to your kid. Imagine Punk looking at Taker and saying that.
It would be interesting. It would be a real breaking the fourth wall a little bit.
And again, I stress, if they could find a way to do it at Mania, where Taker comes out, gets to the stage, and Punk says, no, no, hold it right there, old man. And then goes into the spiel, and that just pisses Taker off, and he just hobbles as fast as he can into the ring and beats the living snot out of CM Punk.
Well, what's interesting is all the reports that are coming out, and they were saying that Taker was moving very, very well.
Yeah, don't believe some of the news sites that have said he didn't look in good shape. Yes, he did.
He looked in good shape. He was moving well. He was very, very, very cautious. And I have to wonder if some of that isn't just his own nerves and unsurety of what he can do. But he was being careful. He was being cautious. He was testing himself out. So that part of it is at least true. It's just the fact that he kind of rocked up to a house show and did it that it's like, what?
Lindsay wants it to happen on May 24th in Utah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. He's not going to show up in Utah.
You never know.
You're right. I don't know because I can't stalk his flights anymore. But but yeah, so it's, I'm interested to see who, he will probably be there Monday night. We have no information on this. We don't know, but I would be curious to watch the house show reports on the weekend and see.
Yeah, I would if I were you. So just, you know, pay attention. Stay tuned to PWMania.com.
For all your news needs.
Yes.
So now, since I guess we're not going to get an Omega.
Not going to get Omega, no.
And we're not going to get a Tim Stein.
No, he was just going to bed.
Okay.
He has a massive headache.
Aww.
I was asking. I just asked.
Let's talk a little bit about our dear departed friend, JSK.
You mean...
I am JFK.
That one?
Yes, that one.
I'll kick it off, Lindsay.
For those of you that don't know, and we did this last year too, so if you've been fans of the show last year, or for the past year, then you've heard this. We all met, and we all used to be in a chat room, and when I say we all, I mean pretty much everybody on the network.
Except for Alan Wojcik and the Jaegers.
Yeah, except for Alan Wojcik and Jaegers. We all met in a chat room of another wrestling show called Wrestling News Live.
Right.
And that's how we all met, and we all became friends.
Correct.
And there were these two fantastic hosts of the show called, or I should say called, named Trey Stone and JSK.
The Trey Dog.
The Trey Dog. And JSK was, and they were just two rednecks having fun. They were two best buddies. They lived together in an apartment in Springfield, Missouri. JSK was a crazy-ass wild bartender who did a little bit of the wacky tobacco.
Just a little bit.
And he was one of the kindest, sweetest people you will ever meet. Like I said, crazy as hell. But one of the kindest, sweetest people you ever meet. And when you got him on the air, he just went absolutely out of his goddamn mind. And we all became friends with him, and we all knew him and talked to him on a regular basis. And sadly, JSK got very, very sick with, was it throat cancer? It's throat cancer. And sadly passed away March 1st, 2007. So, God, has it really been 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
God. Wow. Time flies, man. But we wanted tonight, instead of, you know, talking sadly about JSK, to share some of our favorite memories and clips of him, because if anybody here had heard him in the heyday of WNL, then you would probably have loved him too, because I never met a person who didn't like him.
He was a generally nice guy, and you could tell anytime he was on a microphone, he was having the time of his life.
Oh, yes. So who wants to kick it off?
Well, there's nothing really to kick off. It's just, we'll just go around like this. What we do is an expansion of what they did. We come on the air and we talk about wrestling because we enjoy the product. And that's what they did. They came on the air and they enjoyed the product. And even at his sickest, JSK would find a way to come on the microphone and talk wrestling. If you think about it, he came on the air and would just, with not even a voice, he would come on the air and talk, right, Mace?
Trey and JSK instituted their tradition of Taboo Turkey Day, which was their Thanksgiving show, which was just fans asking questions, comments, anything. It was like a clip show. And the reason this came about was Trey wanted to try and do something to give them a night off. And this was during the later parts of JSK's illness. And you hear Trey going on, oh, I just don't know what to call this thing. I really want to try and get something. So if people can try and, you know, come up with something in the chat room, we'll work something out. All of a sudden you hear, oh, God, what the fuck? Oh, fuck. Fucking JSK snuck up behind him like a ninja. And this guy, from what I've been told, is like 7 feet 400 inches.
As every growing,
he was a fucking man mountain.
Think about it. He had a growing legend like Andre the Giant.
Pretty much. he snuck up behind Trey and whispered in his ear, "Taboo Turkey Day."
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it got started. And the reaction of Trey on the air, getting the shit scared out of him by JSK, was hilarious.
It was. And, like, he made radio, listening to radio, fun. I hope that's what we do for everyone here. But he was just, oh my God, he was so entertaining. And the best nights were the unexpected nights. Especially when the two boys would get on the air and they would be, well, a little hammered, as it were.
A little inebriated. Resulting in one of the most overplayed, one of the most requested, and probably one of the most memorable nights of wrestling radio, known as Wasted News Live.
Now,
oh, I remember that show.
This was, like, they weren't supposed to do a show that night. You had, was it Tim and JJ that did WNL for them?
No, it was Adam and Adam, JJ.
Was it Adam and JJ or was Adam and Dave?
It was
Adam and Dave. Yes, because
was it Adam and Dave?
Yes, because
No, sorry, it was JJ and Dave.
Was it JJ
because
and Dave?
Because that's how we got the line of who the fuck is Internet Dave.
You mean...
Who the fuck is Internet Dave?
That's the one.
Yeah, that show... I remember listening to that show and just being... I didn't even listen to it live. It was one of those shows that they were going off the air because they ran late like us. They started late and they ran late.
Right, they weren't even doing the show. They came home after whoever was doing WNL, or was it even WTR maybe? I don't even know.
No, it was WNL. JJ and Internet Dave covered WNL that night because Trey had to do the concert, and JSK went with them. And then they came back, and because at the time, Trey was working for a local radio station, a country station in Springfield.
Right.
And they got to go backstage, which means they got messed up.
Free drinks all night.
Free drinks
all
night.
I'm a little bit drunk.
I'm just a little bit drunk. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm just a little bit drunk.
You mean?
I'm drunk, dude. No, I'll tell you straight up. I'm a drunk motherfucker right now.
Yep, that would be it. And they came home, and I forget if they had either wrapped the show by that point or if they were in the process of wrapping the show when Trey and JSK got home.
They were in the process of wrapping up, and then they said, stay tuned, and, well, the drunk rednecks came on the air.
Bret Michaels is going to induct Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
You mean
I kind of like to see Stone Cold induct fucking Bret Michaels. I
That was one of the greatest fuck-ups right there.
Bret Michaels.
And the rant that happened in between them afterwards was priceless.
And it basically came up with the phrase...
Y'all kick in the junk.
At which point, I think at one point... Was it JSK punched Trey and Trey went through the wardrobe?
No, it was...
Or was it the other way around?
It was the other way around. Trey, I think, pushed JSK into the closet doors after JSK gave him a frog.
Mm-hmm.
Where he just slapped the crap out of him and gave him a nice little welt.
Yeah. So for, like, I don't know, felt like a half hour, maybe only like 5 minutes between the two of them. They were taunting one another about, you know, hitting each other in the junk.
Oh no, it was more than 5 minutes. It was pretty much the whole, like, show after that, where they would just go back to it constantly.
Right.
And anyone who called in, screw you, who are you?
Yeah, screw you, who are you? Why aren't the ladies calling in?
You mean...
Screw you, who are you?
and it ended up with, while those two were actually beating the crap out of each other, it was Bug and Walkie who were on the air talking to each other.
Yes.
While Trey and JSK are in the background beating the shit out of each other.
Who branded it Wasted News Live? Was it Spug?
It was Spug. It was Spug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, just to keep going on that night, I can remember when Spug calling in and he was telling the guys that he had the cops called on him because his wife was too loud. And that resulted in their first daughter, if Spug's memory is correct.
No.
No?
He got the cops called on him because he was laughing so loud.
Yeah,
oh, that's true.
This was not the daughter call. That was another time.
Yeah, that was...
All I can remember at one point was JSK turned around, the little woman's a screamer, isn't she? Send her my way. On the air, and then he's like, oh shit, that was on the air?
Oops.
But then again, JSK was hitting on just about every woman that night, wasn't he, Lindsay?
Yes. Yes, he was.
Should I go there?
Yes.
You should.
This is the one time of year that I welcome the clip being played. And then I'll explain it afterwards as I sit here and drink my Jack Daniels.
I'm telling you straight up, Lindsay.
Fuck, here we go.
You know, I like Wild Cat Woman, don't get me wrong. But Lindsay, god damn it, I kind of want to eat you out because of the picture that you painted.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, so for those of you that don't know, I did a painting of Trey and JSK and Adam Martin, and I don't even know if Trey still has it anymore. I doubt he does. But I did a painting of them because at that time of my life, I was heavily into art school and was doing a lot of portrait painting. I did one of James Storm, and that's actually how it led to Trey and JSK and Adam Martin all getting painted, but that's another story for another day. And so...
Oh, that storm picture.
Yeah, the storm painting, the naked storm painting. We'll get into that later. I'm not drunk enough for that yet. Where JSK was adopted. And so his adopted father was an artist. And it apparently impressed his dad that I had done the painting of them. And had done it in oil. And as we sit here and talk, let me see if I can find a picture of it or upload a picture of it.
As you do that, I will just say,
I want to, like, meet you and eat you.
Thank you, Rock. So, yeah, so that is the ultimate, like, clip right there of me where pretty much Rock can clip anything I say and it doesn't matter because he has that one.
Yeah.
He has the whole thing. Like, there's a whole, like,
show.
It's a, yeah, it's a, well, no, it's a whole 5-minute segment of that.
Yeah, there is, there's, it's on the internet.
And I woke up to that the next morning, and Wildcat Woman is one of my best friends, and I woke up to very nasty messages from her that next morning, because I had no idea what was going on. So it's like, thanks, JSK, thanks so much, you bastard.
And it wasn't just, like, the fact that they got drunk and shit. These two went together, sometimes brilliant, sometimes absolutely fucking retarded.
But
as evidence for doing an entire 2.5-hour show during a fucking tornado.
Oh my god, that was awesome. That was so awesome.
They are also a show that got the cops called on them.
More than once.
More than once.
Yeah, but that was Trey's fault.
This was Trey's fault. But this was a show where during Survivor Series 2005, for the first time ever, they decide, let's have a webcam.
Yes!
Yeah, and nobody can ever find the footage.
No one can ever find the footage.
But to this day, even Trey is pissed off about that. He's like, I wish I had that fucking footage.
So on a webcam, they're doing a show. They have the webcam feed going. They're doing the radio show. The audio's not the greatest in the world, but that's technology back in 2005. So the match was a Survivor Series tag match, and it featured Rey Mysterio involved.
With Big Show and Kane
and stuff.
And Rey pinned both of them.
They started screaming. Now, okay, you scream over a wrestling match. We've all done it. You son of a bitch, fuck you, blah, 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 blah. No, they went livid. They got livid. Here's the thing. The window was open. So the window was open during the show. Neighbors heard it. They called the cops, because what the fuck's going on? So they call the cops. Webcam, remember this. Cops come into the room.
Yes, I remember that.
And Trey tries to get them on to the camera. Mind you, at the same time, you hear Trey's girlfriend at the time, the cops are here. All of a sudden you hear all this, like, tingling of glass and everything. That's JSK trying to get all his weed out of the room.
Yes. Trying to hide the bong and everything else.
And this particular episode was called When Worlds Collide. because you had WTR and WNL together. Because JJ
yes.
at the time, who was on WTR, went down and saw them. Tim and Internet, I think it was just Tim and Internet Dave, they were on the Skype, and that's how things went.
Well, it was JJ and his wife that went, wasn't it?
Yes, it was JJ and his wife that went.
Soon to be wife at the time.
They weren't married yet.
No, because when he moved up north, that's when they got married.
That's right. Shit, do I not even have a picture of it anymore? I don't think I do.
Really?
I think I lost the pictures. Oh no, there it is. Okay.
Send it to me and I'll put it up on the screen for people to look at. But yeah, JSK was one of the greatest people you would ever know, and if he was still around with us, things would be a lot different. And, you know, maybe some more moments that, you know, made us go, well, the fuck, from one JSK. But one of his favorite things was...
Robert Goulet. Goulet!
He just couldn't say that.
He tried. He tried so hard. He just couldn't say it.
He tried. He really tried. And they were also... He was also...
Boozy lovers!
I remember that. There's a whole spiel that goes with that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Basically, if you can find copies of it, I used to host these, at least the main... what I can see the main three episodes. One was Wasted News Live, and Tornado News Live. The other one that I had, and it pisses me off that all this got fucking killed off the other day because Media Fire are a bunch of dicks. I actually had the JSK tribute.
It's on the internet, I can find it for you.
Yeah, I think I have it.
Like, okay, to give you an idea, of what this guy meant to in-net wrestling radio as a whole. When he did pass on, there was a tribute thread on their forums at the time that went, fuck, how many pages did that thing get up to?
It was a lot, I can't remember exactly.
Well, there was a shitload. And it was just all the fans throughout time that had come to say something. And what had been done is that all of those comments that were made by all the fans were put into a binder with a WNL logo
mm-hmm.
on the front, and he was buried with those comments. And even his family had no idea how wide that thing went.
Yeah, it was his parents got cards from fans. You know, if you knew them well enough, Trey would give you the address and you could send cards and flowers and notes and everything. And it just was this huge outreach that happened. I know I tried to get there to the funeral and I couldn't make it happen at the time. But I know I wanted to go. I wanted to get there because it was in Arkansas. So it's like at the time I was living in Georgia, and it's like, well, I could probably reasonably get there, except I couldn't get off work. Assholes. But, I mean, the whole thing is he meant so much to so many people. And like I said, you never met a person that didn't like JSK. You never met a person who hated him or thought he was... a bad person. He really was just this gentle giant of a man who never had a... I mean, I'm trying to come up with even anything bad to say about him, and you can't. Other than he lied to all of us at the end. Asshole.
And you basically you can forgive him for that.
Yeah, you can forgive him for that. He never... That was the thing. Like, he never let on to how sick he actually was.
Because every week they would say, he's getting better. And it was the opposite.
Right, and it was... And we're not meaning this to be sad, but it's like I remember finding out that he only had like a month left Edge and Trey had told me late one night, because he was worrying about JSK, and it was, well, I thought he was getting better. No, he only has a month to live. What? It's like, that's when you find out he's been lying to everybody, because he didn't want anybody to worry after him. Which was amazing.
Yeah. Well, to break that up.
One nug for me, one nug for you. I'll have a nug, and you'll have one too.
The nug song. Oh. Yeah, sorry, I can't help but get a little emotional, just because I do. I miss that big son of a bitch. I really do.
Well, that's one of the big things is, you know, those two together did exactly what we say now. You know, we have taken, well, practically stolen the moniker, you know, for the fans, by the fans. They were the guys that invented the shit.
Yeah.
And they meant it every word along the way. And, you know, and I've said this many times. I've said this to Trey many times. If it wasn't for him and JSK, I wouldn't be doing the shit I am now. You know, I'd rock producers, Lindsay's now doing her own shows, and I'm here, Omega, you know, we were all chat room people way back in the day.
About 10 years ago it started.
Yeah.
And it's not just us group here that owe this to them. Like, one of our good friends, Santa Loco, he does stuff for other podcasts. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have gotten there if he wasn't.
Hell, awesome. That one show that, I'm going to say who they are, In Your Head, that branched off of WNL.
Yeah, I remember when that started, because I remember when Wrestling News Live was on audiowrestling.com, because that's where I started listening to it. Hell, it's like, I remember being so nervous to call in, and it's like, I would sit there and I would listen to him, it's like, God, I would wish I could do this, but it's like, God, it's like I would call and I would get so nervous I couldn't talk. And I didn't know why, because they were the coolest guys. You would call in and they'd be like, oh, hey, what's up? Unless they were drunk. And then it was, screw you, who are you?
Screw you, who are you? Yeah.
Anyway, he's Trey. I'm JSK, and we're drinking beer and talking to you.
Yep.
That was them, in a nutshell. That was JSK in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Yep. And they give me shit for being Australian, and my first words out of my mouth were, "Shut the fuck up, rednecks."
Yep.
And you know,
I mean, seriously, man, we're like stupid drunk. We really are.
I'm trying to remember what else. There's so much.
He had love for doing, you know, talking to people, and it was, you know, he was a great guy, and he sadly missed, and some shows kind of need him back. But yeah.
Yeah, he's missed, and he is still so loved by all of us that knew him, and that's why I wanted to do it tonight, and to remember him and honor him, because it is now officially March 1st, at least for me, and so I think it's now officially March 1st for all of us, actually.
Yes.
So, you know, and we didn't want this to be sad, and I guess it's a little sad, because we do. We miss him. We miss him a lot, because he was a great friend. He was a fantastic human being. There wasn't anything that you could ask of him that he wouldn't do for you. I mean, he was the kind of person that he would literally give you his last dollar.
Hell. All right, here we go. Before we go there first.
My dick is that big.
transitions into... There's this running joke on the show. I don't know.
Taker's penis?
Not Taker's penis, but that's our joke now. Because it's...
My dick is that big.
There was a joke on the show, and I don't remember... Wasn't he trying to sell his underpants?
He was!
The man was trying to auction off his used underwear.
And didn't he get like $50 for him?
I don't remember.
Somebody bought them.
Someone did buy them. Why, I don't know, but they did.
Because people are kinky?
People have a fetish. So, you know, we'll auction off things from here. We'll auction off Tim's stuff if you really want it. Because, you know, we give away his shit all the time. Anyway,
I was going to say, I don't think we could sell it. We could maybe give it away, but I don't think we could ever sell it because who would want it?
Yeah.
Bullshit. I mean, come on. You knew that this was going to happen.
So, what else do you have? What other clips do you have? I'm just curious.
I'll go through a couple of them.
You don't want me to tell everybody what we did tonight, do you?
There's that one.
You know what? Next sound that you hear will be Trey getting hit in the junk. I didn't hit you that hard.
There's that. There's...
I'm not going to lie to you.
Because he never did, except till the end.
Yeah,
no,
faster.
We're not stupid, we're young.
And there's this.
I almost got laid.
And to finally close out this little segment.
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people. I'm out.
I miss that outro. So, with that being said, now that JSK has played it out, I have my obligatory glass of Jack Daniels. I don't know if you can hear it. I
can hear it.
With me, and every March 1st, I do a shot in honor of JSK. Although I'm not doing a little bit more than a shot right now. But I raise my glass. Do you have one? I say to this, to JSK, we miss you, we love you, and please come back and smack some people on the head.
Damn right.
So that being said, we are going to move on.
I said we just wrap up. You want to rant or you want to just wrap up after that?
No, I want to rant, so please rant.
No, go ahead. You can go first.
All right. This isn't really a rant about anything in particular. This is actually something Rock showed me last night, or today, I'm not quite sure which, because they all kind of bleed together at this stage.
Yeah.
But to the lady who is pretending to be the Undertaker's wife, please seek professional help. Please, for the love of God, okay? The man knows about you, and he sits there, and he laughs at you. That's not good. I understand you're in love with him. Guess what? I'm in love with him, too. But at least I can recognize the fact that I will never have him. Ever. So, yes. Yeah, so, to the lady, and for the record, just so everybody knows, there is a woman that actually pretends to be the Undertaker's wife. Like, she tells people this on the interwebs, in person. And then Taker apparently knows about it and just laughs at her. Laughs at her. Like, he doesn't... I mean, it's great he doesn't care, but at the same time, I'd be a little scared because it's like, you know, Psycho Stalker Lady, she could probably find you. Although he could probably take her out. But... So, yeah. Crazy Psycho Stalker Lady pretending to be Taker's wife. Get over it. Move on. He is married to Michelle McCool. Yes, I said that semi-sober. Deal with it. All the rest of us have to. I'm done.
Well, for starters, screw you, Comcast, and WWE. Do not, and I repeat, do not go to New York City and think you can go, set the Guinness World Record for the Harlem Shake. No. Just no. Please no. Please do not attempt the Harlem Shake with 70,000 people. Please, no. Please.
They're going to do it. You know they are.
Please, for the love of God, please. No. No. Just no.
they're going to do it. You realize this, right?
That's fucked up.
Anything you got, you want to get off your chest, Mace, before we go?
No, I'm good.
You good?
I've had a good week. I haven't got anything to rant about.
All right. Well, on that note, Mace, would you have anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, I suppose this little thing known as the WTR Gaming Night tomorrow night, somewhere around the 8 p.m. Eastern mark. This week I'll be playing the way through Metal Gear Rising Revengeance and showing you the fancy big-ass cover it came in. So make sure you show up on time, because that's the only time I'm going to show that throughout the show. Other than that, follow me at the Macing.
All right, well, Rock, go.
Since you're a plug, I don't need to say it. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio with myself, Rob Parks, and Subway. We talk about the weird, wacky, and the unusual. We got a snowman the other week. We don't know what we're going to talk about. Oh, yes, we do. Grammys. Not Grammys. The Oscars. Can they predict they're right? We shall find out this Saturday night on CB Radio, plus all the other news you can possibly handle. Sunday, join Mace, Tim, and Omega for Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern, covering all the news that we didn't cover tonight, and whatever else breaks, and whatever else they want to talk about. Because it's WTR Sunday night with the evolution of online sports entertainment, the original show on this network. Monday Night Raw post show, join myself and Lindsay Ward at 11:30 p.m. Eastern as we will cover everything that happens on WWE Monday Night Raw, including probably the return of The Undertaker, and that will either mean Lindsay's happy or Lindsay has a sad, or somewhere in between, or she'll be speechless. Either way, tune in at 11:30 p.m. Eastern for the Raw post show Tuesday. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik. Everyone's favorite basketball player, Sugar Dunkerton, returned live to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio at 9 p.m. Eastern. Also, Matt Bourne will be on the program as well, so get out your face paint, get out your red noses, and have some fun with Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. Wednesday night, most likely, hopefully, Justin the Goddamn Master Show will be back on the air at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next week at 11 p.m. Eastern for The Rack. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio, WTRProductions.net, CanadianAllPro.com. The new show is going to be called March Mayhem, possibly. So the details will be up very, very soon on that. Also go to RackRadioShow.com. Lindsay.
First of all, Kane Kittens, get your ass to the corner now. I just checked my Twitter. I saw the poster. You're grounded for the rest of the week. But on that note, you can follow me on Twitter at Lins Ward, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. You can go to Cassidy's website, CassidyRiley.net. Please buy his merchandise. He would greatly appreciate it. You can check out my DeviantArt profile, linsward.deviantart.com. Of course, listen to all the other fine programming on this network. Check out RackRadioShow.com. We've got all our interviews up there, plus some other stuff. So please go check it out, figure it out, like it, hate it, whatever. We work very hard on it. And, of course, visit our very fine sponsors, PW Mania, for all the news that we haven't talked about tonight and maybe what we're going to talk about Sunday. And, of course, go to memlanepromo.com. That's Memorabilia Lane. Check them out. Buy their merchandise. They would greatly appreciate it. So, for Mace, for Rock, for JSK, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you later. Bye. Well, you can't take it with you, but you can't. It goes down. Yeah, come.